Order. The requirements of the Open Publics Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Cleveland?
Here.
Keeley?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Boyle?
Here. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'd just like to make a little announcement before we get started. We have two places where the audience will be open for participation. There is the audience portion, and there is the public hearing on the budget. I would ask that the audience portion be kept to things that are not budget-related for any other issues or questions that you may have, and then during the public hearing for the budget, you may ask any other questions about the budget that you may have at that point. First off, I have a proclamation here for Older Americans Month that I'd like to read. It is a proclamation of the Borough of Washington, whereas it has become tradition that the month of May is designed as Older Americans Month, and whereas the growing population of older adults in our county and our municipality continues to make innumerable positive contributions through their efforts as volunteers and citizens, and whereas the Borough of Washington wishes to honor our older adults for their past and present contribution, and encourage our older residents to remain in the mainstream of life as they continue to play a vital role in our society, and particularly in our local community. Now, therefore, I, Scott McDonald, Mayor of the Borough of Washington, do hereby proclaim May 2010 as Older Americans Month. Next up, we have our correspondence.
Make a motion to receive and file the correspondence as presented.
Any discussion on any of our correspondence?
Mayor, I do, if you don't mind, please. The one that is addressed to Christine from the county land preservation. Is there another piece of information that goes with this that we're supposed to be seeing in order to talk about the scenic byway study committee?
Didn't we already join this?
They want the county to be the lead agency with the federal money, but this federal highway money.
This is the same thing that they came before us. And
we said that, yeah, we would participate in the scenic byway program, but because of this letter, excuse me, it says that they need a lead agency and they want Warren County to be dealing directly with the federal government.
So this is almost...
For the funds.
We've already agreed, so
yes.
This is just housekeeping.
Yes, so all the correspondence and everything would be put on the county, basically.
Yeah, because I'd love to see some money from this for a change. Because we join these things all over the place and we don't get anything out of it.
Well, that was going to be my question. Are we going to receive any of these grants, or is this just going to that committee study?
As I understand it, the county is going to be lead entity. They're receiving the funds, and they're going to be running point on the study itself with the assistance of the municipalities.
Right.
In this instance, for this phase, if you will, no funds coming to us.
Are they looking for that for tonight?
We can put it on the next one if council wants.
Okay.
For your consideration, place on the next agenda.
If I may, I've just been attending most of the scenic byway meetings, and so the intention is also to have a funding agency, not just a lead agency, but many of the grants that just become applicable might require some matching funds or percentage of funds. And the county would have such funds as well as the fiduciary capabilities to administer the grant. So at this point, myself and Mayor McDonald have been participating on the scenic byway committee, and the hope would be that one of us, in fact, I would imagine that would probably have been appointed on a committee to administer the funds also, and therefore represent Washington Borough for our interests in that committee. That would be my hope that the
Thank you.
And that has been received well so far. So they have asked for the federal support from the municipality.
I personally don't have a problem with acting on it tonight. making the county the lead agency for the funds.
There's no cost to the borough, right?
Nothing.
We sure?
At this point, there is.
Yeah. We discussed this already. They came and gave us a presentation and everything. I mean, there's down the road, there's money available down the road potentially, but nothing right now, nothing concrete. We participated in this discussion before, so this is just, you know, there's potentially money available down the road, but none right now.
So, Mr. Higgins, are you making a motion that we pass this resolution this evening?
I think we can do that after we do this, you know, the rest of the receiving file.
Okay.
But I have some questions, too.
Okay, is there any
piece of correspondence?
All right. Are we done with this one, Mr. Boyle?
Yes, I am. Thank you. I have some other stuff, too.
Okay. Since you have the floor, go ahead.
Cool. I'd like to speak to the engineer's report on the Pleasant Valley Mill Dam.
Yes.
Specifically, my first question is on page 3. The fee proposal says lump sum fee $26,000. I'm used to seeing a verbiage of not to exceed. Okay. So, quite honestly, there's no actual work being done to the dam. This is study, monitoring, and preparing a manual, correct?
That's correct, in order to be compliant with the DEP regulations.
Is there anything that we could see that actually comes from the state New Jersey dam safety regulations that says that we got it, that we got it? I mean, it's telling us that we have to get this done?
This is just for, I can get that for you, and I can, if council decides they want to move forward with this in order to be compliant with the state, we can place them on another agenda, and the additional backup documentation can be provided for your review.
When you had your conversation with the engineer, the borough engineer, is this all to be done in 1 year, or can this be spread over a few years?
The study has to be done right away. We have to start making movement on that now, otherwise they will start fining us each day.
Do we know what that is? Is that
I think he said it could be upwards of $5,000 a day.
Thank you.
Well, that was what I was going to ask about, the dam.
Okay.
The other question I have is, do all three of these proposals, these phases, it says, I think it was 9 months, that they were completed in 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
So if we went with two of these, would the third phase or the third item that they did, would that be next year's money?
Well, it's not being spent from current fund money. It would be spent with capital funds, so it doesn't matter. Capital funds roll over from year to year.
It's already listed in the
budget. Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Yeah, the not to exceed and the fees. We don't, you know, I mean.
Again, this is his proposal. Council can award whatever contract they choose. The language in the awarding resolution will state not to exceed.
I understand that. Could we have a breakdown of hours?
Of hours, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he knows specifically number of hours, but I can ask him.
Well, there's got to be something there.
Well,
the hourly rate is based on the professional service contract that you awarded in January.
I understand.
As far
that.
As the total number of hours for the project, that I don't know.
How did you come up with $6,000 for the survey, though, at the hourly rate? How many hours is that?
I'll get the break. Like I said, this is just his initial proposal.
Okay,
if he didn't want to move forward with it, we would have stopped it, and I wouldn't have had him waste any more time.
I would like to know that, though.
Rich, we're mandated to go with this, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a requirement from DEP.
Yeah, it would be nice for the engineer to knock that cost down to exceed 40%.
Any other discussion on consulting engineers with the Pleasant Valley Dam? Other discussion on any of the correspondence? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Higgins, did you want to do something on the resolution for the scenic byway?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to, I don't know what resolution number that would be. Okay. The resolution supporting the establishment of the Route 57 Scenic Byway Committee with Warren County as the lead agency.
I'll second.
Okay, is there any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for any testimony, remarks, petitions, or statements from guests that does not have to do with the public hearing on the budget. Mr. Creston.
Joe Creston, 92 Carlton Avenue. Now, I believe we own the borough owns the old fire truck that we replaced it with the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at with that as far as selling it?
I haven't had a chance to prepare the ordinance to move forward yet. I have the draft that I received from our attorney's office. I just haven't had a chance to go down and get over the numbers of all the items we're going to be auctioning off.
Well, that was up quite a while ago, right? When that was on, what's going on? I mean, that's money in our pocket, guys. My opinion, we need to really move on that stuff. This old stuff to generate income. So that's about all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
I was here for the budget workshop on Wednesday, and there was some talk about closing the pool, and I just wanted to speak to that. We invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into that pool not too long ago.
Mrs. Halpin, if I may stop you, I think that would be more appropriate under the public hearing for the budget.
Mm-hmm. But you would do it in public session. If
yeah, well, it will be done in public session. It's just a couple steps farther down. If I can ask you to hold off until then for that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
Where was the present valley dam? Mill Pond.
It's back.
Is that the township?
No.
No, we own it.
I believe it may be in the township, but we own the property so that we have control of the dam for the water that needs to flow through.
For the sewer plant, was that
yes.
part of it?
Yeah.
Sewer?
Yes, the sewer flows into the stream that runs through the dam. That way we had control of it. That's why we own the dam.
He really means the treated water, Mayor?
Yes. Yes. It's the treated water that comes out, which flows into there. I'm sorry.
Every spring, the water company flushes the hydrants.
Yeah, that's the one they flush.
Yeah. No, they do that every year to all the hydrants.
I've been here 30 years and never saw it like that.
I've seen it in every community. I know they do it all. The water company does it all the time.
Here.
The water company does it all the time, whether or not, how and when
the
they
do.
I'm sorry?
I should call the water company?
The water company is the one that did it. I was speaking with them while they were doing it.
Why wouldn't they put the water down into the manhole?
The water goes into the street now into the storm drains.
Wrong. We don't have those. We have yards.
I'm just letting you know what they did. They flushed them.
I'm just letting you know what they did because of what they did.
Exactly.
And we would like to get it corrected. So who do I talk to?
The water company is the one that flushed the lines. That's who you would need to talk to.
If you call Mr. Phelan tomorrow, he can give you all the information. You know, as to who to contact and things of that nature.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, if you would, I'm sorry, I should have had her do this also. If you would give your name and the address for the record, please.
Question. That contract, the engineering contract, is it able to be viewed by the public? Can I see it? Because I work for a company that does contracts. So if you have any questions about validity or not, I can just quickly look at it.
You're speaking to one about the Pleasant Valley Dam?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I do have friends who are engineers, so if you want to, an off-site, you could write out all the information. I can just have them look at the general contract structure if you have any questions.
But it isn't a contract we have, it's a proposal.
This is just
right?
A proposal?
Yeah.
Because
yeah. I mean,
it should say not to exceed, and they should be able to give you a breakdown of
hours per heading of the engineer, the technician, the survey, and any subcontractor that are there. I deal with this every day. So if it's not there, you should get it. It should be in your, in the proposal fee, proposal structure.
Is there any concerns with the proposal to show to the public?
No, none whatsoever. It's a public document.
Yeah. My handwriting's on that, so. You can,
oh yeah, we'll be here a while.
Near mine. Do we have to use our engineer as a standard survey, like a standard, if we use any other engineer?
We could go out to bid, I suppose, but for small ones, it's rarely done. At $26,000, although that sounds like a lot in the grand scheme of things, it's a small amount in this case. Anyone else from the audience? Hearing none, I would accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved. Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next we have Ordinance 3, 2010. For public hearing and adoption.
I'll move Ordinance 3, 2010 for public hearing and adoption.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Leone?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Okay, at this point I'd open up the public hearing on Ordinance 3, 2010, and just say this is not the budget ordinance.
It's an ordinance affixing the salary and wages of certain municipal officials and repealing portions of prior inconsistent salary and wage ordinances for the year beginning January 1st, 2010.
Yeah, we all read that, but we don't understand what that is.
What it does is it deletes the police chief out of our ordinances, our salary range, since we no longer have a police chief. With the retirement of our code enforcement and zoning officer, we are going to split that into two separate part-time positions, so it has created those two positions. It creates a fee schedule for a municipal recycling coordinator, which I believe the state of New Jersey mandates that we have. We have the tax collector on here. What is the...
That's an event. If you recall, earlier this year, council was exploring the option of a shared service agreement with another municipality. That's in anticipation of that, if that should go through.
Okay. And it sets the salary and wages for an assistant recreation supervisor, a recreation supervisor, both of those for the swim team, and the hourly rate for a sports official for basketball. Any other questions from the public hearing? Accept the motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes. Is there some reason why we didn't put all the seasonal people on here?
Because all of the other seasonal people already have minimum and maximum hourly rates. These were three of the ones that just had flat fees. This allows us the flexibility to set maximum number of hours per week.
And do we have a municipal recycling coordinator?
Yes.
I think it's you, Rich, right?
No.
No?
No, it's not. It's actually another employee. He's actually agreed to do it without the increase. But in the event that we're forced to change, we have to have this available in the event.
You mean the increase of being paid at all?
No, the increase of that stipend. Right now he's agreed to do it at no cost.
Anything else?
No.
We need the motion to adopt.
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 3, 2010. Second.
Okay, any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Danny?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Okay, next up we have our reports.
I move we file the reports.
Second.
Okay, Any discussion on any of the reports? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this point, I'd like to open up the public hearing on the 2010 introduced municipal budget. Mrs. Halpin, this would be your time. I'll go to you first since you already came up.
Okay. All right.
I know that we had invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into that pool not too long ago, and I really think that it's going to be a mistake if we don't keep it open. We'll lose the continuity of having people join the pool. They'll find other things to do and forget about the pool. We want to attract business in this town. We can't close everything and look like we're a dead town. Nobody's going to want to come here and open up a business. I think what we really need to do is to market the pool, keep it open this year and market it, and maybe get more people to join the pool. I also was told that in Hackettstown, the swim team participants have to be, they have to join the pool in order to swim on the swim team. So that might be someplace where we can get more revenue. But probably you can't change the rules in midstream. Probably have to do that next year.
I believe we did do that at one point many years ago, but I forget. Forget how that worked. No, we never did that?
No.
Did we just discuss
Debbie
it then, maybe?
She was the coach.
Okay.
So that might be another way to do it. I know that Gary's been doing a lot of good work in the park. He's cleaned it up. We now have our grant to trim the trees. I mean, we're working hard to make the park look good. And if we close the pool, I think we're just going to have a giant expensive hole in the ground, and nobody's going to be able to use it. So I ask you to reconsider the thought of closing the pool.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on the budget? Mrs. Yaporsky, you had your hand up first, if you would like to. I've never known you
before. Beth Yaporsky, Wyoming Avenue. I was quite surprised last week, as I think some others were, in the community to hear that the council is considering closure of the pool and cutting the swim team and lesson programs out of the town budget. I apologize. I had to read this because I had to organize my thoughts like this afternoon, all right? So forgive me. I'm not at all surprised that all expenses are being scrutinized. That's what we elected you to do. I'm just very surprised that this discussion is taking place so late in the spring. We heard about the challenges before council last week. Gary read out his report. It's the first time we've had, I think, such a well-articulated report on expenses associated with the pool and the park. And the easy choice, albeit the unpopular choice, is to just get rid of that expense. Close the pool and we don't have to worry about the $60,000 or $80,000 gap. And I know that that's not easy for any of you to just make that choice. But here are some problems that we create if we close the pool. We've already collected pool-related revenues from taxpayers. The town has made commitments to families to teach their children to swim. We've given the green light to the Borough Sharks swim team to participate in the Pendel Swim League. As a softball league administrator, I know what chaos it causes when a team pulls out of a schedule last minute, and for the swim team, this is last minute. It will cost the swim league. The park is unsupervised. Another point is that the park is unsupervised while the pool is closed. The incidence of vandalism decreases as soon as the pool opens for the season. It does take a village. And kids, they're at the park a lot during pool opening time, and they rely on that village during the long summer days that they spend out of school and out of their homes. Being acknowledged by or engaging in conversation with or being yelled at by the park workers gives them a sense of oversight. The swim team has already committed to the league, as I said, and the closing of the pool will have an effect on a league that is already organized for the year. They've already expended costs that include the borough swim team. Beyond that, the closing of Washington Borough Pool will send a far-reaching message to potential residents, local consumers, and business owners that Washington is no longer a viable town. This year, for the first time in 25 years that I've lived here, we have 8 teams playing at the stadium. 8. Men's baseball, men's softball, youth baseball, and travel softball are all playing, paying to play. Adam Zimmer sparked this last year with bringing his baseball team in. I'm astonished by this. You can't imagine what it's been. We've had little girls softball playing there for years. I'm really emotionally affected by seeing 8 teams playing on a single diamond. We've increased the diamond. We have base paths for everybody. It's fantastic. It's a fantastic energy down there now. However, and here's the big however, the stadium, you know, home to my beloved softball program, will have, the park will be introduced to hundreds more people on weeknights and weekends from now through August this year. And what a pity if the park's highest attendance in decades will be the first in as many years to offer up the site of a dead, dry pool. Now, let's speak positively. What can we do to make the pool more viable for this cash-strapped town? We did not have that kind of discussion last week because it wasn't the forum. I think this is what you're offering the public. The park draws people together in a positive, healthy setting. For this reason, open parks and recreational services are highly valued by taxpayers, perhaps more valued than municipal buildings, assets, or employees. The pool is the community center. Sorry, Rich. The pool is the community center during summer. We've got people coming to the park for lots of reasons. And during swim practice and meets, entire families are at the pool because all the kids in the family swim on the same team from ages 5 to 18. Families from all over Warren, Hunterdon, and Easton areas congregate on warm summer evenings to watch the team and socialize. It's the ultimate positive summer community experience that attracts hundreds of people every season. The park is currently the reason that hundreds of out-of-towners congregate on the first Sunday in June to watch the softball All-Star game. Dozens of folks relax on the hill to watch the Summer Men's Basketball League play basketball a couple times a week. Count all the baseball players, all the softball players and their fans, all the soccer players and their fans, field hockey players and their fans that come to Washington. Count all those events and think concessions. Think revenues. Think consumers for Washington. So before you vote, I want you to envision for me all those folks, residents and non-residents, seeing a dead, dry pool. It's not a pretty picture. I've played softball at Alpha. Their pool closed years ago. It looks like they're dead. It says dead town. It says don't come here. It says don't purchase property here. Don't set your business up here. It says we gave up. Now, let me express some ideas for action that would support a healthier budget, because even though I just waxed dramatic, I know you have to keep focused on the numbers, right? So in just the last few days, I've gotten the commitment of the recreation director and a couple of members of the community to form a pool advocacy committee whose first objective is to create a program to reduce the pool's financial drain on the tax rate. We realize that it's wholly unreasonable to think that the pool must be made to pay for itself this year, but it can be less expensive and new avenues for park and pool revenue can be put in place. Immediately, reduced services and expanded user fees, not higher user fees, but expanded user fees, can provide some remedy. Grants and corporate sponsorships, as well as privatization options, can be pursued. And remember, expense controls put in place by Gary last year have made the difference of thousands of dollars. In one decision, he saved about $6,000 or $7,000. His experience and due diligence since his hiring have benefited the taxpayer directly, while his attention to improved facilities, safety, and personnel have improved the patron experience. Another but secondary objective is to make growth pay for itself. Attendance at the park is up, no doubt about it, but Councilman Cioni has spoken often about improved marketing of the park to increase attendance even more. This is where growth pays for itself. New signage, an example of simple marketing, helped. The improved website pages have helped. More aggressive ideas are what we need to put into action for the committee of responsible community members. Almost done, guys. I hope that Councilman Cioni will join us, but members of the council are welcome, of course, and I would absolutely want to have pool members, swim team members, and other members of the community to join the advocacy committee. I'm asking that the council approve the opening of the pool for 2010 tonight, with the condition that the pool advisory committee will provide you with an action plan quickly that both reduces expenses and contributes revenues to reduce the pool's burden on the taxpayer. A regular update will advise council of ongoing activity and progress. I know it's a minimal response that I offer here tonight, but it was a late-breaking threat, and it got my attention and prompted me to action. I think it prompted a lot of people to action. I hope that it will prompt members of the pool community and swim team to act with me. So please, instead of just giving up, let's act together, and let's let the threat of closure in 2011 be the impetus for action now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could we have Beth, you and I spoke about this. Would we be able to have that action plan by the next council meeting?
And
a draft? Because we have to look at this realistically, like you said about the numbers. You know, you could talk about the dead pool and all the other stuff like that, but we're at the stage right now where people are losing their homes, and that's a little bit more important than losing a pool. I support the pool. I've given more of my time than probably most on council, and that's fine. But we're $66,000 is not a small number. And I have every bit of faith in you and Gary to turn it around. But the reality is it's still $66,000. So I would love to see a detailed action plan, if not by next meeting, at least a draft. Because if you leave it open-ended, there's no guarantee for success. You know that as well as I do. I think that the pool can be viable. And I think, you know, the pool has gotten so much better in the past few years. And you're right. We did $348,000 Green Acres loan to refurbish the pool. So, it's important that this pool remain viable. And to your other point, we didn't even know how much the pool – we always knew the pool lost money, but we were never able to get those numbers until last week when Gary presented them for the first time. Council ever knew how much money the pool lost. And I think we were all shocked at how much it lost last year. So that being said, it is definitely a viable option to close the pool. But I would love to keep it open, and I'd love to see what the action plan looks like. So from a provisional perspective, I would grant them the ability to vote to keep the pool open pending the oversight of the action plan.
Okay.
So the council would oversee.
No, not oversee. The council doesn't have any purview over the action plan, but your committee is going to provide us with the draft action plan. But I would want to see some details, not subjective things like, you know, if the weather's nice, we're going to get this many more day passes sold.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. But it would strictly be out of council's purview. Want to buy it? Why don't you buy it? So.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I don't want to see the pool closed either. But again, when it comes down to who loses a home and who keeps the pool open, and the amount of money that's lost, I mean that's big.
I think it was surprising to everybody that heard the numbers last week.
Yeah.
I would hate to see a knee-jerk reaction being, "Well, what gap we got to close,"
yeah,
without giving it a year's.
And in fairness, if it wasn't for Gary, I wouldn't even consider an action plan. Me personally.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on the budget? Yes, ma'am.
What about the forensic oil?
If I may, would you please give your name and address for the record, please? We didn't get. Okay, the forensic audit is still in the budget.
Yeah.
There has been. Now, the introduced budget is not the final budget. It's still open for debate.
What about any response that you got
The submission date is next Thursday. As long as the responses are received by, I believe it's 10 a.m. next Thursday, which is the 29th.
And they won't give anything earlier than that?
Oh, they can. I have not received any yet, no. I know that approximately 20 requests for qualification packages were given out to the public, whether it be forensic accounting firms or otherwise. I've received numerous questions from firms that were responded to everyone who picked up. We just have not received a response yet.
What if you get none?
We get none. Council will have to decide if they want to go out again to solicit proposals again. If they decide they want to go back out again and solicit proposals, it will remain in the budget.
So it stays in the budget?
Right now, it's still in the budget. Absolutely.
Are you all for it or not?
That's for a later discussion, I believe.
Really?
Yes. Mr. Del Elba.
Bob Del Elba, Stewart Street. I know you had sent out, thank you for the email of the copy. I know you sent out 17, I think you said the last time. You haven't received any responses from the 17 you sent out to?
No, I have not. Something complicated like this, I've been getting inundated with phone calls and questions, which actually required me to issue an addenda yesterday, which I believe you were copied on, because you were one of the people that picked up. I sent an email out to everyone who picked up.
Yesterday?
Yes. Yeah. What happened is there were such a large amount of questions provided by applicants. I issued an addendum to the actual proposal document listing all the questions and answers for all the applicants.
Okay. Now, I'm not familiar with this type of process. Is the initial one you sent out, is that a typical request?
You mean the format?
Yeah, format, that whole package. Is that a typical?
The way it works is a request for proposals, in this instance, or a request for qualifications, sometimes it's referred to as, in essence, is a snapshot. The governing body of this municipality is looking for this professional service. Mm-hmm. We're looking for A, B, C, and D, whatever those are. You're also required to list certain statutory requirements. If you recall those documents that were in there, those are the statutory required documents. Those have to go in there, along with the requirements of the governing body themselves. I think it's page 18 and 19 or 19 and 20 lists the requirements of what is to be found and discussed as part of their proposal. We're looking for X. Please provide us with a proposal to provide those services. Once everything is received, it's received in a public forum, up here in the council chambers. They're received, they're acknowledged in public that we received them, and it's open to the public, anyone can attend. Then they're reviewed and tabulated. The review confirms that they've met all the statutory requirements. You know, licensing, documents that the state requires have been submitted properly, etc. That list is then forwarded to council for their review.
So there's a special meeting next Thursday for?
No, it's at 10 a.m. It has to be opened in public at a time the municipal building is open. Same as a bid. It's treated like a bid. Where you have where you have a public date and time. It's published. You know, it's on our website. It's out there saying, okay, on this date and time, the borough is receiving sealed proposals for this service. Anyone who's interested has to submit by that date and time.
And it's rare we get any submissions earlier than 24 hours before the deadline.
And that's what I want.
Not at all. I mean, and the same goes for large bids, you know, major construction things. It's usually within 24 to 36 hours prior is when they start to trickle in.
Okay, so you expect that some will come back?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, a lot of them, I actually refer them to the website, the reviewing current introduced budget, previous budgets and audits, because they need to know what they're bidding on. Some of them have actually said they want to stop in this week to look at some documents so they can provide an accurate proposal. That's why it was out for 4.5 weeks.
So there's been some inquiries?
Oh, absolutely. On a daily basis, almost, do I get calls from some firm questioning it.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Ken Chambers, 64 Grand Avenue. Last week I attended the meetings here, listening to the various departments, the DPW, the library, the judicial. A few things came across that did not seem that there was significant due diligence by this organization to be able to justify the costs of some of these departments. I was listening to the DPW, where they said, we have X number of streets that we have to repave, there are X number here, we also have to take care of the parks, we also have to do this. This is our budget line for this. I did see that Mr. Phelan said, well, do you think you can get to all of them? And they said, well, yeah, we can. Excuse me. As a business person, due diligence has to be done. Project plan has to be run. Cost per street, per effort, has to be provided. Cost of business expected, cost of business achieved, has to be provided for each one of these things. If there are 12 streets on the list, and it says $40,000 to do those 12 streets, but they only get to five. Gee, that $40,000 went to five. Well, wait a minute. How come street one didn't cost X amount? Street two wasn't budgeted for X amount. Street three was not budgeted for X amount. That's the type of due diligence that I feel this organization should be doing with each one of the department's line items, where there is a project plan, where there is a Microsoft Project Gantt chart that will give you timelines and show work completed and cost of work completed. That's basic business. The same thing with the library. I understand they wanted to get lights when they walk by, you know, the lights go on, the lights go off. What other additional costs is the library incurring that they have to get the latest books that are out being published on the New York Times bestseller list? They have to keep their entire circulation of every periodical. How many people actually read all of those different ones? Is it possible to cut those back? All right. Then also in regards to the judicial clerks, I think there are two of them here. They said, oh, we have continuing education requirements that they must fulfill. From what I understand, we're potentially moving our judicial system to another town. Now, if I also understand correctly, they're limited to a maximum of three. The towns or the groups that we're planning on going to, this would be the fourth.
If we go into the shared service with Mansfield, yes, we would be the fourth.
Okay.
And
now,
the three number that they give there is not a solid number. It's a policy of the assignment judge. It's nothing that's written. It's just her opinion.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, do we have any legal fees in case that is challenged? In case they say, no, you know, we fight it, and we say, yes, we want to be your fourth, and they say, no, I'm sorry, we can't do it.
Well, we are fighting it, but there are no legal fees. We're doing it through the legislative process,
okay,
as opposed to the legal process.
Fine, that's all well and good. The clerks that we can, the two representatives that we're maintaining, I understand they have to have continuing education units. If, in fact, we do become the fourth, within 6 months, she mentioned that they would like to be reimbursed. Yes, be reimbursed for the costs they've already incurred. However, I do not want to pay for their costs of their continuing education units that would encompass all 45 credits in the 2 years or whatever that it would take for them to do it. If they have 6 months, when that is terminated and we become the fourth, fine. Pay for what's,
and that's the way it
what's
would be
appropriated in the 6 months. I didn't hear anything about that. All I heard was, yes, you can, you know, take care of those kind of things. It's due diligence, each one of those particular little points that has to be addressed. If this is going to be run as a business, we are going to be concerned about our money. Not your money. Our money. We have to look at everything line by line. In my house budget, if I didn't do that, I am sure PSE&G or the water company or, you know, Cablevision or whoever, it doesn't matter. They would come after me for it. And then all of a sudden I would have my services terminated. That should be the same thing here. If we aren't looking at it line by line by line, each individual thing, we aren't doing our due diligence, and shame on us for not doing it.
With the road department, the proposals that they made for the street paving,
yes,
at the budget meeting, that was the first that we heard of it.
Okay.
You know, before, nothing was approved on that.
All right.
You know, before anything would be approved I don't know that the exact process you detailed would be followed, but something along those lines would be filed. That, you know, man hours would be studied, and we'd know, we would have a fair idea of what was going to happen with that. In your point to the library with the periodicals that they get, I do know that every year they review how many people read which particular periodicals, and they may cancel some, they may add some others if they've had a lot of requests for one. But they do that on a yearly basis.
All right, as well as, you know, they don't need the number one through number 25 bestsellers on the New York Times.
Right, and
every week it comes out.
I don't believe they get them, but I honestly can't tell you what books off the top of my head they get.
I appreciate you letting me take the time to say this. I'm just saying it is our responsibility, and it's your responsibility to look out for us if we
have
questions.
Right, and I just wanted to answer your concerns as best I could.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And the continuing education, we only, you know, we said we would reimburse what they've already expended, not going forward.
Okay, I don't want them to say, oh, we may not have a job in July, I'm going to sign up for six courses so I don't have to take any in the next 2 years. And then we end up getting billed for it, and they're off.
Right.
Also, the thing about the library, the lighting system, that was discussed here. It was decided that would be cost prohibitive.
Exactly. It would be.
Right.
It would be.
So that's totally a mute issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Quick question. What is the policy on continuing education credit? I know that there are companies I've worked for, say if you leave the company within a year, they have to pay it all back. So they want to take the credit, and they're going to leave. Is there a policy currently in?
Is that the end of the contract?
Here, they have to reimburse.
Right now, the employees that you're referring to are unionized employees. Their union contract requires reimbursement for education while they're employed. There are about eight employees that have certifications that are required by the state.
I understand.
That's what they
are.
So.
There is certification.
It's not
but
in the contract. No.
It's policies that I've worked with have a rule that the employee, if they leave, if they terminate, if they go to another job, are required to reimburse either in whole or in part to the company.
Right now, the terms of the union contract say that they're paid for it as they go, as it's approved. They're not required to reimburse.
Anyone else? Mr. Del Elba.
Just looking at some of the suggestions here, some of them are good. Coming alongside, you trying to save some money for the borough. The one suggestion that she just made, can that be explored a little bit in terms of negotiations with the employees, or is that done?
Their contract was approved 08, I believe, prior to me getting here, and it expires in 2012. Unless they're willing to voluntarily make any changes, we can't make them do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so voluntarily making any changes can be explored as a possibility to take the girl with the money.
I can't get into too many specifics because it is a contract negotiation issue, but I have spoke with the union membership, both locally and at their union level, and no concessions are going to be made.
Because I think some of these suggestions are good. You're trying to come up with solutions that we're all trying to ride at to.
The very difficult part when you're working with contractual employees is unless they're voluntarily going to make changes to their contract, I'm bound by the terms of the previously approved contract.
No, that's interesting.
So
but it's explored that you're trying to make voluntary
changes. At least a half a dozen times.
Okay. I just think that some of the people that are suggesting some things are experts in their areas, and perhaps continue to share some of the ideas, we'll come up with some solutions.
Thank you. Mr. Masoner, you have something?
Yes. I just want to make a correction. When I gave you some information last week, I gave you the report. It came to my attention this afternoon that I gave you some incorrect information, and I want to correct that because I don't want you making a decision about the pool without having the correct figures in front of you. I gave you the T account balance last week as $82,143. And I told you that in the T account, there were swim program-related monies of, which came from the concession stand, swim program, swim team, and swim lessons, of $57,923, which was available to operate the pool. It came to my attention at 6 o'clock this afternoon that we only have a total of $15,000 in the T account.
Instead of $82,000?
Instead of $82,000.
There's only how much? 15?
15.
15.
1-5?
1-5. Wow.
That's total in the entire account. So I didn't want you to make the decision based on incorrect information.
Okay, my question would be, why the disparity? Why such a big discrepancy?
In 2009 budget, when the budget was prepared, whoever prepared the budget anticipated $145,000 of recreation revenue to be deposited into current fund. So at the end of the year when I started, I realized that no revenue were going to current fund. It was all being deposited into the trust fund, contrary to the, I guess, the intent of the 2009 budget. So the entire revenue that was collected was moved into current fund as originally anticipated. The reason Gary's numbers look different is because he looked at the budgetary side of the account, not the cash side, where the fund balance was only $15,000.
So the money did go to current fund?
They did go to current fund. If you look at your budget, it will say 145 for recreation revenue anticipated and 81 plus collected. That's the 81 that were moved from the trust fund to current fund.
So that was the 81,000 that was transferred?
Yes.
My understanding is that money will be transferred back into the T account, correct?
81,000?
That's part of the budget process. That's if council correct. Decides they want to maintain the level of service with the pool,
right.
They're going to account for those expenditures as part of their budget.
Okay, and that'll come out of this year's current budget?
Yes, to offset.
So that money will be transferred out of this year's current budget.
The recreation always has two sets of accounts, trust okay. and current.
Trust and current. Right.
With pool losing money, if the pool is going to stay forward, council will have to decide how much in current tax dollars to use to subsidize the pool.
Okay. Just apologize. I felt very, very uncomfortable when I found that out. I didn't want you to make any decisions based on incorrect information. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, I have a question. We took out $74,000 at one time, and we took out another $7,000 another time. This is the question that I asked. Where did the $81,000 go?
It just happened that the numbers were the same. There's two different $81,000 that you're talking about. The 81 that you're talking about, which is 74 plus 7, is a transfer within the budget appropriation from the current fund to another line item within the current fund. I think one of them was the police because the interlocal was higher, and I don't remember them off the top of my head, but I think we had shortage in the fire hydrants, the utilities, and some other line items. So the 74 that weren't extended in one line of budget was transferred to cover expenses in the line items that were under budget. The 81 we're talking about, the Gary, is the true cash that the revenue that we collected that was moved from the trust fund to the current fund. It has nothing to do with 81 transfer between appropriation line items.
Okay.
It just happened to be almost identical numbers.
All right. So they took in $82,000 or $81,000,
so,
whatever. You took that to offset the cost that was paid for at a current fund.
Okay.
So, where's the $81,000 that we put in the budget that they paid us back?
It was realized as a revenue, and now that's why you have a fund balance of 160 at the end of the year that you could anticipate in the
budget. At the end of what year?
2009.
That's
why
you
wouldn't have a
160
in the fund out.
So half of what was left over came out of rent, is what you're saying?
I wouldn't say that because you anticipated 145 and you only brought 80. So in fact, you actually were short almost $65,000 in your projection last year.
Okay, so
and there's a lot of factors that cause us to have a surplus. If we didn't move 81,000 in, we would have even less surplus in the budget. And if you want to say 80 is half of 160, sure, but I wouldn't say that that's, you know, direct correlation.
So
we're using 130 of that surplus
beginning of this year. Correct, that's going to have to be adjusted if we want to give them back their $81,000.
Well, it'll just have, you won't have to adjust the, you just have to raise the funds that you need to offset the,
right.
the shortfall on the pool.
As appropriation, but.
So, we're charging the taxpayers for $80,000 that they collected last year. We're charging the taxpayers for that. That we're going to give them back.
That's what you're saying, that you appropriated.
Correct.
Why can't we give it to them from the surplus fund?
Because there's only $15,000. Oh, you're talking about surplus.
There's $250,000.
Because it can't be used until next year.
Well, that's not how the, you know, county works. You have to appropriate it in the budget. And if you want to appropriate another $80,000 in the budget, you can. But in this year's budget, you already, well, you can raise taxes and appropriate another $80,000. And then the revenue collected this year is not anticipated in the budget, therefore it will stay in the trust fund. And we would have a healthy balance going into 2011, and hopefully we wouldn't have to budget anything in the current fund.
So next year, I mean, we're funding it this year, 100%.
Yeah, because so there's, no, there's no revenue budget.
So whatever they take in goes straight to the fund balance?
To their trust fund.
Okay, so next year, when they have a balance of, say, $80,000 in the trust, but they still need $135,000 to operate, we have to budget $55,000 for them next
instead
year.
Instead of
$135,000. So we're putting that... Well, I just want to make this point. A couple of years ago, that when they were running at $200,000, that when the Rec Commission did it, we funded them $80,000. And the pool, whether it made money or not, that's all they got and they dealt with it. This right here, we're taxing the taxpayer to do this, to fund this.
Mr. Dallala, you had something?
I have a question, and I don't understand how this is working, but it sounds like borrowing from the computer pay fall. When we switch a line item like this, it would be very, very confusing trying to keep everything where it went and what it did and how it, and that's one of the reasons why we were asking for that 5-year full parade support, because things have been shook back and forth all over the place. Maybe this is common practice. It gets very confusing to figure out, hey, if you've got these line items in this budget, but if we need it here, we can pull here, and pop it there, and then next year, where do we go with that? It gets, to me, it's a heck of a way to run a budget.
Plan.
I mean, maybe it's why not even pay, but it just doesn't make sense to me.
Can
we
explain the trust fund again?
What's
the trust fund?
I couldn't hear the question.
Recreation trust fund.
What is it?
The trust fund, in essence, is a dedicated fund that when revenue from user fees, it should be user fee based. If it's $5 for a participant to participate in a program, and you need $500 to make that program run, you need that many members in order for that program to move forward. It's a self-funding program. It's non-taxpayer dollars. It's all fee based.
So why didn't the revenues go straight to the trust account? That's my question.
They paid us back because it was anticipated revenue that we anticipated in the budget.
But didn't.
So they had to pay it. Okay. They had to pay us back.
There was a Rec Commission. The Rec Commission mayor, it was to stand in 2007 or 2008.
I'm not sure.
I believe it was 2008.
2008. The Rec Commission didn't exist. You needed either a dedication by, in other words, you needed approval from the state to spend whatever money was coming in from them. So there's two ways to do it. Create another trust fund and get approval from the state, or put it in the budget, current fund budget, to offset the expenditures. We, in 2009, we decided to put it in the budget. And then actually we did set up another dedication by rider for another trust fund,
okay,
but not for a Rec Commission, which is an autonomous body. You give them money, they spend it, okay? When the commission gets disbanded, we take, our mayor and council take control of the recognition, basically. It's our response, your responsibility. So last year, we put it in the budget.
So that's why the revenue had it coming.
And I think the personnel just filed normal policy, putting the money into that trust fund, and didn't realize that we made, you know, the commission was gone, and that the money had to go into current fund. So when Natasha came on board, we saw that there was $145,000 anticipated, but no revenue. So that was going to take, that would lower our surplus. So we said, oh, we put this money, so we had to transfer that money back in.
Why is there any money in the trust fund?
What you're
explaining is true. If the commission
was disbanded and all of that went away,
why is there a trust fund at all?
We set up a new trust fund for dedication by rider, which is a dedication by rider. You just can't, when money comes in for a municipality, you just can't spend it. A trust fund is just can't spend it on, like, as the money comes in, you can't just spend it out. You need approval from the state. So that was created last year. Because the 145 may not have been, and I don't have to get what the reason was, but it wasn't encompassing everything. So we saw money was going into the trust, so I think we decided to go that route instead. Because this year's budget does not have that money in it. I know it's very confusing, but that state regulation, that state rule.
Where should the money go this year? To the trust fund or not?
It's all going to trust. There was nothing budgeted in 2010. So Dave's point is, if the trust fund brings in $80,000 and you expend, and the trust fund can't expend one-third, it's got to come from somewhere to run an operation. It's got to come from the current fund budget.
But now the trust fund is 15 and not 80.
Because the 80 was used to offset expenditures.
Now we need more to run the pool? It sounds like we need even more to run the pool because of the discrepancy
numbers. I'm not too sure about those numbers.
Well, he said 15 and another 80.
The cost of running the
pool is more than the cash.
We need to reevaluate how much money is needed to run the pool.
The cost of running the pool has been established. The funds, where they're coming from to pay for that operation, hasn't been.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what we have to, now the money is all different.
Council, the short version of it is does council want to approve a budget raising the money in the tax dollars to subsidize the budget shortfall in the pool?
But wasn't it based on what's already sitting there?
I'd like to make a correction if I could. It's not the pool, it's the whole recreation department.
All the programs are making a
profit. Correct.
All the programs are making a profit, though. Right.
The only program that's currently running recreation, not funding itself, is the pool operations. All the other programs run by the Parks and Rec Department are self-funded.
I understand that, but we can't touch that money until 2011, so those programs are going to be subsidized this year.
As you bring in money in, you can touch them the moment they see their bank account in the trust fund.
So, but are we paying ourselves back this year again?
No.
So if we budget $135,000 in this budget, we're paying for that. Because we don't have any anticipated revenue in the budget.
As the money comes into the trust fund, you're allowed now, because we have a dedication by rider from the state approving it, as $80,000 comes in, $80,000 goes out. Now, if they have more bills, the question is where are you going to pay it from? It's going to have to come out.
But my point right now is, right now, we have $15,000 that's not going to support the rec programs for the entire year.
It'll support the programs besides the pool, because the others generate enough to survive.
But
we have to get that money in.
Correct.
But we don't have it now.
But we don't expend it till we get the money anyway.
Revenue, is that what you're anticipating in 2010?
That reflects what we raised last year. That was what we raised in 2009 for two separate four items. So we would anticipate that we would raise the same money.
So you would anticipate. So that money, though, when it comes in, though, that can be used to offset this year's expenses,
right,
including,
right,
like, say, the karate program that is covering, to pay for itself.
Let me explain one thing about the trust account. When you bring, as an example, when you bring money in for basketball, into the trust account, when
money can only be spent on basketball-related activities to be used for salaries. When you bring money in for that's generated by the pool, it can only be utilized to fund pool activities. Okay, for example, swim team money can be utilized to pay for chemicals for the pool. It has to be something that's related to the swimming pool and related to the program. Otherwise, that money builds year after year after year. As an example, and what there was a question here as to whether or not current year money is being utilized, we brought in $2,800 in revenue this year for girls softball, and we spent $2,750 of this year's revenue. And that was money that was in the field.
So that's what I'm saying. For example, your total operating expenses for the swim program, the pool, is $112,000. So you're going to expense revenue. In addition, you have about $20,000 for the other programs, basketball, but all those other programs pay for itself. So really, we're not paying for every single program in this budget. They're going to be able to use money that they get in for the user fees to cover those programs.
I understand that. We're paying for it up front. They're going to reimburse us. We don't know how much they're taking in. So if they take in another $80,000, we have $135,000 budgeted in this budget this year in just the recreation line item. That doesn't include the money that's spread out through the DPW for seasonal help or lawn maintenance. So if they take in $82,000, we're going to take that $82,000 from them.
No. It's going to be spent on their expenditures.
If you recall last year, there was no trust, recreation trust account.
All right. So whatever money they spend for what they take in, whatever they take in, say for basketball, they're going to pay for basketball out of their trust line.
Correct.
Okay, so we could conceivably give them $135,000 in the budget this year, but they only spend $50,000 out of it.
No.
I don't understand. If they're bringing in money to offset the cost of what the program are.
Only when something runs into the deficit would you have to start tapping. You wouldn't just give them a blank check for $135,000. You've got to requisition it, and then it comes out.
I think you're missing what I'm trying to say. If they spend $800 on basketball, and they take in $800 in basketball, but we have $800 in basketball budgeted for them, we get to keep the $800,
correct,
and they have to pay it.
Yes.
So my point is, conceivably, at the end of the year, we could actually realize a savings in this budget of $50,000 based on the numbers that he brings in. $82,000. Or if he brings in, it costs him $800 to run the basketball program, but he brings in $1,200, $400 in that line item in their T account for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So we're only getting the $800 back.
Basically.
Correct.
How much revenue are they bringing in from the swim team? What's the budget?
For the swim team?
Well, from the swim program. Last year was $65,000.
So based on what you're saying, they're asking for $112,000. They say they're only going to bring in revenue of $62,000, so we're still out that difference. But they're not going to be able to cover it at all. We would have to cover it.
Janine, that's not true. That's the whole program. Just the swim lessons and swim teams, was that your original question?
No, anything that has to do with the pool.
Anything with the pool, and it's not, okay.
I would also like to point out, though, that this is the first time that the electric bill has been included, the insurance has been included, and the, I don't know what else is included, but that goes to the cost of running the pool. The electric and the insurance was actually included in the borough's budget. So you're saying here that the $6,400 that's going to pay the electric, that's what it costs to run now. Are we going to charge them for the electric bill?
Are we going to charge trust for
the
electric?
Are we going to charge the rec commission for the electric bill, which we've never done before?
No, the question that was presented, which was the information that you guys have in front of you, was how much does it cost to run the pool in total? That's the total cost to run the pool, period.
Was that ever included before, Gary? The electric and the insurance?
As part of the recreation budget?
Yes.
No.
I mean, it's still a cost to operate the pool.
What I was asked to give you was, what was the cost to run the program, not where the money came from.
Mr. Feldman.
I guess this is for the auditor. What happened to the trust fund that existed when the commission was abolished?
Actually, that's a
phone
question.
Someone answer it.
I'll have to say
so. And why was that trust fund not used for, or was that trust fund used for the fees that came in the last 2 years?
Again, I don't know what happened 2 years ago.
Well, what happened last year?
The fees came in last year when the current fund, that's what I did.
So the account number that was used, and what you're saying is that a bank account number doesn't yield go to a specific account or fund?
The $81,000 went to a new dedication by the writer, the trust account.
Okay, but my
that's, that's the new one, the trust fund. The personnel downstairs didn't realize that we budgeted $145,000 current fund, separate fund, so when Natasha came on board, we realized that there was a shortfall in that line item because no revenues were going into the current fund, it was going to that trust fund. So we transferred the money where it belonged. There was a reclassification of accounts received from the trust fund to the current fund where it should have been accounted for in the first place.
If in 2008-2007, the fees were going to account 100, and in 2008 and 2009, the fees were going to 100 whatever.
Yep.
Is that not going to the same trust fund?
That had, back then they had a recognition.
I know, I was on.
So, okay, so that money was just
going to a trust fund.
Going in the trust fund and dispersed from the trust fund. So.
And then the money after the commission was abolished was going to the same account?
No, to another trust fund.
But it was going to the same account. You're telling me that the account was changed from one fund to another?
From another cash account. Because we had to get dedication by rider approval. When you're a rec commission, you need a separate dedication by rider.
I understand that.
This is the state of New Jersey's rule.
So where did the money go that was in the trust fund when the commission was abolished?
I assume it just got transferred to the new one.
How?
By a check.
But wasn't that money intended from the trust fund to be used for recreation purposes?
It went into the trust fund recreation.
In the current fund or in the trust?
In the trust.
Okay, so if there was
$40,000... Because we don't have two accounts, so... we don't have that readily available to us. I assume the money is either still there as part of the trust fund, a separate trust fund that we didn't transfer, or it got transferred to the new trust fund.
How could you not know if there's $40,000 or $100,000?
It's not $100,000.
How do you know?
Because there's not $100,000.
So how much is there? I mean, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars, and yet we can't account for something as simple as what
we
can
account for, but we don't have the records here.
I can't go the numbers, I don't remember.
There's a lot of activity that runs through the town, and we just don't have the information. I mean, we can easily get it to you, this week.
Let me ask this question, Tom. If the old recreation trust money was transferred into the new trust account, it can be withdrawn from there, just like when if there was money in the old recreation commission trust fund, and they transferred to the new trust, it could be pulled out to pay the bills too.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So we just need to know how much was transferred into that account.
Mr. Crusher.
Are you saying that there's $15,000 left in that account?
No. What you're saying is they took in $15,000 last year, from last year's take-in.
There's $15,000 in the new recreation fund account.
Now, I'm a little confused. Wasn't that the same account that they took the $81,000 out of? No.
The new
no.
The new one. Why was that $15,000 not taken out?
If I may, Jeff. In 2007 and prior, when there was a recreation commission, the state has one set of requirements for that type of trust fund. It's a semi-autonomous board that has the authority to bring in revenue and expend. When the recreation commission was disbanded, the state says you now need to, in essence, cancel that trust account. It's no longer valid because you no longer have a recreation commission. The balance, there was no, last year, I think it was either June or July, is when I petitioned the state, just after I got here, to create a new trust account, a non-commission trust account.
Right.
All right. Now, what happened prior to that, we'd have to pull the information. I don't have that in front of me. It was not until mid-year last year that we created the new recreation trust account.
No, no, I understand that, but they were saying that there was 15,000 still.
Tom, I'm sorry.
The Recreation Commission had $600 at the end of 2008. The new Recreation Commission account, or I'm sorry, the new
Rec Committee
account had the
$15,000
in it. So $600,
I don't know. Okay, so where is that $15,000 right now? Which one?
Recreation.
The new
trust.
Yes.
The new one. The old
why was that not taken by the general fund if we were shortfall? We were shortfall. Why did that not go into the general fund as well?
Because I only took the revenue that was brought in during the year, not the money that were there before. The intent was that the revenue that was collected in 2009 go into the current fund, not to completely wipe out the trust fund. That's not what was the intent.
Okay, so that $15,000 is 2009 money or 2010 revenue coming in?
2009.
Okay, so why is that not added to the general? Well, I don't understand why you took out 81,000 of the one fund and not clean the whole count out and put it in general fund.
Because when I looked at the writing you brought in, that was 81,000. So
why not take it off? Clean the
there'll be a zero balance in the trust account, and they'll have no funds to operate.
No funds anywhere. Shortfall, right? Are we shortfall with the pool? So I don't understand why the whole account wasn't just, why you only took 81,000 out and not everything out of it.
That would, in essence, wipe out all the cash that recreation has and there'd be no recreation department.
But we're having money coming in.
You know, the whole point of a trust account is like a savings account to be used to offset expenses associated with recreation programs. You want it to build up
a
balance.
I understand that, Rich, but I thought we get money. Allocated money each year goes to these accounts, correct?
No.
No?
They're fee-based. They're generated by user fees only.
We're trying to avoid using money from a trust like that for other stuff. That's what we're trying to not do anymore. So that $15,000 will
correct.
Only go towards recreation things. It won't go towards sewer or something else. So that's
like a set standard is your
$15,000? No, that's just the balance at the end of 2009.
And you got to remember, that's a snapshot as of December, and they have a lot of startup costs, too. So if we used it, they would have just been coming back to us in January, February, March to start up for a startup cost. So
okay, can you give me, well, you have the book, what's the startup cost from last year?
No, we have both numbers.
No.
Joe, we don't know what a startup cost is for your year.
No, Joe, what it is if we cleaned it out to zero, the only
I understand that, but I'm just saying.
No, this is going to answer your question.
Okay, go ahead.
If we clean it out to zero, and a program needs say $5,000 to start, and we don't have that $5,000 to front out of the trust fund, the only way that program survives is if we bring in $5,000 and then start the program. That's a time sensitive issue. You can't do that.
I understand that completely, and I agree with you that it should run like that. My question is, we don't have a number. Why don't we have a number?
Well, what do you want to know? I mean, you start off costs for what?
He says the rec program.
But that's what I'm saying. I need, if you give me a program, I can get that number for you.
You have $15,000 in there for a startup program.
Okay. No. That's not
for the entire rec.
The $15,000
is for the entire rec, correct?
Right.
No, but
hang on.
I'm answering your question. It's not $15,000 in an account dedicated to recreation. It might be $1,000 in street hockey. It might be $2,800 in baseball. It's broken down by program.
I
need to know what program, and I can find out what the startup cost for that program is.
I'm looking at what I'm looking at as of January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever our rec commission runs on, to have a number that we need for startup. That's what I'm looking at.
Again, those numbers are all revenue based. They're fee based. I don't. I need to know the program. I can't just say it costs $10,000 to start recreation.
Maybe I'm.
I mean, I need to know specific. If you say it to me, Rich, how much is it cost? How much startup cost is needed for the pool? I have that number. I can get you that number. If you say how much does it cost to start up and run recreation, that's an unknown. Because if recreation has new programs this year that they didn't have last year, it's going to change.
Well,
if, you know what I mean? It's a live number. It's a savings account solely designed to fund recreation. There's no answer to that question.
How did you come up with 15,000?
That's the balance that was left.
Okay.
We didn't come up with 15. If you have $100,000 in the bank and you spend 85, you have 15 left in the bank. That's what this 15 is, Jeff. There's a balance left in the recreation trust account.
I'm just trying to get up to what I'm trying to come up with is a number I think that we should all have, is a number each year that you encumber. This is what it takes, and we should know this year.
That's what part of the getting the balance is the easy part. I have X dollars left in my trust account. Getting the breakdown of where that balance is broken down between programs is also easy to get. The cost associated with the programs can vary from year to year, which is why the rec director presents to the borough council his fee schedule. We know that utility costs are going to go through the roof this year, so we have to adjust this program's cost. Or we have a huge surplus in this program's trust account, so we can drop it $5 per user. It changes year to year. It's based on projections of the particular program.
So you're like here saying, like one of the startup clubs, like the softball program.
Yeah, but you're all this money, softball, all your money comes in before the sports start.
Not necessarily.
Name one.
Not necessarily.
You don't pay until later.
Say everything was fine now. All right, before we bring in the full amount of revenue, we need to fill the pool with water, and we need to pay the electric, we need
and
to pay for the chemicals.
Okay, hang on.
And that comes out of the trust account.
Hang on a second, okay? Now you're talking when? May?
Well, it depends. Depends on when that particular program runs.
I understand that. But 15,000 is not good.
Joe, you're getting, please don't take this the wrong way. You're getting caught on this 15,000. The 15,000
is just a leftover number. I understand that. So we don't know what you need for startup.
If you give me a program, I will call you tomorrow with the cost of that program to run.
All I'm looking for.
I don't know what, Joe, you're asking me for an unknown.
Well,
if you tell me what program.
For example, do you want to know what basketball cost last year?
Basketball makes good money.
No, but that's not what you're asking. You're asking.
$735, and they brought in $740. So they technically paid their, they could pay for their whole program. But they might not have had, maybe they had startup costs. We don't know. But if that's what you want, we can give you that information.
What I was looking for, Mrs. Lieber, was a number that we should have in there. That's all I'm looking for. And what a correct number that we're not encumbering too much money, or whether it's only a little bit. Because it might be my opinion that money is all collected before the program starts.
That's not true. That's not true. The programs are not, in a perfect world, absolutely. But programs would never run. Because if I need $20,000 to operate a program, and I have to wait till I get $20,000 before I make any movement on that program, the season could be over. You may need to reserve fields. You may need to make equipment purchases. You may need to make league registration fees. You need the cash in the trust account to front it. And then when the user fees come in, as an example, say for softball, say it costs $10,000 to run softball, all right? But before one pitch is ever thrown, I need to expend $3,000 on uniform, league registrations, etc. I need cash to put out first. Now, as the money comes in from the registrants paying, it gets dumped right back into that trust account. It's like operating a business. If you don't have the funds to do it, you don't move forward.
I guess I'm.
There's nothing allotted. They're all fee based. They generate their own fees.
I can only use the money for the basketball, can only use that.
Correct.
Oh,
I'd have to go downstairs and run the report to find out. Off the top of my head, no, it's divided. There's, it could be 20 programs. It could be $1,000 in 15 programs. I'd have to check. I mean, I'd be misspeaking if I stated. I just don't know the answer to that. What would I look?
Mr. Feldman?
So then Gary really doesn't have $15,000 in there for the swim program?
No.
Said he had 15 for the program, swim program. The question was $15,000 left in trust. There's a big difference.
Well, I know that.
So that 15 is just basically going to sit there?
No.
Joe. I understand you're going to use it out of there, but for certain sports, whatever it needs to be.
Make it easy. 15 events. They each have $1,000 in there. That encompasses your $15,000. Okay? Now, of each of those events, if it costs $5,000 to run each of those events, you already have $1,000 in the bank for that event to offset your upfront costs. If I need registration fees or uniforms, I can purchase that, and when the registration fees come in, say I get $5,000 in registration fees, it gets dumped right back into that program's account.
I understand that part. What I'm looking for, I guess, is each sport has, I was on the record, each sport has a budget, and you cannot go beyond that budget, okay? Whether it's uniform this year, next year,
right.
You have to save that money and take care of that.
All right.
What I was looking at is to try to get a number that we need, that's all.
You tell me what program you want to know the startup.
We need it for all of them, Rick.
But
Rick.
Gary has that as part of his duties as the recreation director. He knows that if I need to run this program at $5 a head, I need to sell 100 participants in order to survive. If you don't sell 100 tickets, the event doesn't go forward.
What I was going to say is this is how much money we need to keep in there each year.
There's no such thing as enough money. Meaning, theoretically, you could have $100,000 in every recreation account.
Okay. It's a projection. It is what it is based off of other numbers. It's probably the best answer that we can give you, but not a solid number. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
So for clarification purposes, that if a recreation sanctioned event or program does not take in the money that is required to pay for itself, that program is done away with.
For this year, correct. I mean, as long as it pays for itself, it can run forever.
So,
and as part of
or council can, I mean, is
correct. Or you can subsidize it with tax dollars.
Right.
Either way.
Mrs. Schaporsky?
Yes. So you were the one that brought up the time-sensitive grade. So normally, the softball, for instance, the single rec program that I know something about, the softball, we normally have one or two teams. On the odd year, we have three or four teams. But we can't anticipate that in time. But I can't anticipate that before March.
Okay.
And this year, we had unexpectedly four teams.
Mm-hmm. I heard about that.
We had to expand to pay the league in March.
As an example.
So what's difficult is if you try to promote a program, it's basketball. It would do a really good job if you had basketball. Every kid in the world wants to play basketball. You don't have enough startup costs. You don't have enough equipment. You don't have enough money.
That's why you have to build up the trust accounts.
These come in typically before the program starts. Okay, like we're having sign-ups right now for swimming. Swimming doesn't start for another month and a half, but all the money for swimming comes in now. Right? Basketball was raised, all the money for basketball was raised 2 months before basketball started. And all the money for softball was raised 2 months before softball started.
Some programs you can run. I can answer your question. Some programs you can run in advance, like that. If you do registration fees in January for a May event, chances are you're going to get everything you need to prior. If this is a new program that is a time-sensitive thing, you might not have to, which is the reason you want to make sure that each program has a little balance in their trust account. In your example with softball, make it easy. Say you need four teams, 10 people a team. Okay, that's the league you want to do. That's your magic number. If you hit that number, that's great. But if you get 45, you can't have a fifth team until you have 10 people. It's a business decision. If you don't have enough to sustain each, in this instance, each team, you know, you may have 45 people, but you may only have four teams with 10 people on it, and five people can't participate.
So here's where I'm to fall off the bus. If I could have money that would accept money from another recreation program, okay? Great. It could happen.
Oh, correct. Right.
Okay. So I could have that money, but I can't use it for the other sport program.
That's correct. We made that conscious decision last year because there was too many complaints from residents, from participants, of why am I raising, is my fee, you know, X dollars, and I'm funding myself, but you're using that money now to subsidize another program that's losing money.
So I would be happier if you had told me that it's a fiscally responsible thing to do, rather than a group of people complaining. But it doesn't make sense. Recreation and parks is a single...
The borough council made that decision when we did that last year. We said everything funds itself, period. No more taking revenue from field hockey and offsetting soccer, if
so
you will.
It
that type of thing.
For people who promote sports in the town, recreational sports, go find private funds.
There's absolutely nothing. There's nothing wrong with your scenario.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with taking that money in there and using it. You know, one profitable recreation event subsidizes a non-profitable. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, it was chosen last year to say, yeah.
So the refugees come in during the summer, concessions, and they all go into the trust fund?
All the revenue that comes in for recreation goes into the trust fund.
So just remember, if you decide to do concessions for softball and it's swim season, where does that money go to?
Concession stand goes towards the opera.
Oh, now you're combined. Now we're back on that. Right. So that's a decision.
The gentleman in the red shirt behind Mr. Kresser there, you had a question earlier? Yes, sir.
Yes.
Hey, would you
I just want to know bottom line. Is our rec program worse off now than what we originally thought, or better off than what we
The status of the rec program is the same.
Okay.
The only current program not self-sufficient is operations of the pool. All the other programs run by the recreation department are meeting or exceeding their expenditure costs.
And sir, would you do me a favor, just give your name and address for the record, please?
Earl Proctor, 9 Davis Street.
Thank you. Mr. Feldman?
Mr. Ferry, just want to clarify something. The trust fund takes in $1,000 for basketball, and it's set for basketball, and they only use $800. What can this guy do with the other
$200?
Nothing.
They made the decision, I think Rich was saying, they made the decision that it only gets to be spent on that program.
By law, can they make the decision to send it someplace else?
Yes.
Or it has to be spent only on that
program? If they see a surplus and they want to fund it somewhere else, they can make a conscious decision by a resolution to transfer funds to another program that may need the money.
So at some point, a discussion should be had among council before it takes a good decision, and so we revisit it, right?
Mr. Kresser.
I'm a little concerned with, say, starting, just for example, say we want to start a lacrosse. To start up any sport is very expensive. So that is really going to deter, I have no idea, but just say lacrosse is going to cost us $10,000 to start up. So that's really going to put a damper in any new...
Not if you plan properly. If lacrosse, say, it starts in August, start registrations in January,
but
and you can build up the
about
funds to expend that without having to subsidize another program. If it's planned for properly, there should be no reason that's an issue.
To start up a brand new sport is very expensive.
Oh, I'm not debating that statement. No. I agree. If it costs $10,000 to start up lacrosse, and say you're starting in August, if you start... registration in January for August playing, and it's planned properly, you can generate the full amount prior to the start date.
But there is something like, say, like uniforms and everything else. Uniforms, we were in things.
Look at it this way. If you're going to start a new business, you need to have the money to do so, correct? Okay. And if you don't have the money, you don't go forward with the business venture, correct? Same thing.
So basically, if you're looking at any kind of sports, it's going to cost any money.
Joe, that's not what I'm saying. You can run whatever, Gary can run 1,000 new programs if he chooses to, as long as they're self-funding. And the only way they become self-funding is if you plan the registration process properly. again, my same example. If you're starting lacrosse in August, game one is on August 1st, and you need to do all your prep, everything needs to be in order by July 1st, you need to figure out how from January 1st to July 1st you can bring in $10,000.
So no matter what sport it is, they're responsible for the startup fee, basically.
Well, that's what the entire recreation program is. It's a self-sufficient fee-based department.
What happens is, like, say, we need you uniforms in 2 years down the road. You don't get new uniforms every year. Every 3 years, you get 15 uniforms.
Well, if you need new uniforms, that goes into the user registration fee.
Okay. So it's going to have to be...
Every year, the registration fees have to be memorialized via resolution and adjusted.
Right. Pretty much, so whatever sport we want to start up is going to be the cost of it per person.
Well, an example on that is I know the person that helped start the street hockey team. The startup cost on that one was startup, I remember, was $20,000. What they did was they went out and raised $20,000. They did events. You know, people hosted different events. I know that.
I think they had the Devils make a contribution.
Thank
you.
I also did like a wine tasting thing.
There's nothing precluding fundraising.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Mr. Chambers? I don't mean to antagonize anyone by this. However, I apologize. We're getting down into the weeds. We're dealing with a world of what ifs. What if we want to do this? What if we want... Guys, we're all here. It's 9 o'clock. It's hot. We haven't even addressed the budget.
I thought it's the pool.
It is the pool. And they are going to be considering all the ideas that... I can't remember the director's name. But they are going to take into consideration the additional information that he brought forth tonight. What I'm saying is, we all came here for a budget. We can't deal in a world of what ifs. Let's start dealing with what the budget is. Let's start taking a look at the budget. Let's start addressing it. I apologize. I'd just like to keep us back on track.
Thank you, sir.
Somebody.
Yes, ma'am.
Two thousand eight versus 2009.
You mean the actual budget document, the introduced budget document?
No, I think the tax rate.
Oh, you're talking about the tax rate side by side. Yes. Well, the 2010 tax rate hasn't been established yet.
But once it has been.
Well, yes, once it has, that's going to be a live document that gets added on to each year. The introduced budget, that's what this public hearing is on tonight. The introduced budget is based on the total increase to the taxpayer for municipal operations. All right, now your 2009 tax rate is X. If 2010 the tax rate goes up, that 2009 rate, of course, would be modified to the new rate. The 2009 tax rate will change higher or lower depending on the final adopted budget approved by the Borough Council.
You mean 2010?
I'm sorry. I apologize. I have too many numbers in my head.
I think she's looking for the number.
We won't know the number until...
As proposed tonight.
Correct. That will be right now in 2010. That's unknown because the budget has not been finalized. Once it's finalized, yes, it will go into that line item, or that column, if you will, on the tax rate.
The 2.5% tax levy cap.
There's levy caps in place right now. It's called the levy cap. What that means is that restricts the amount you can raise by local tax dollars. It's 4%. That's what the state law is right now.
4%?
Yes.
How come you're dropping it down to 0.02?
I have no idea. Point, are you talking?
We're talking about a hard cap next year of 2.5%.
Oh, all right. That, I apologize.
That's next year.
Yeah.
No, 2.5%. And that's not even, it has to be done by referendum. 2.5.
It's 2.5%, and it's one of those things that if you need to go over that, you need to go to the state, and the state can approve it or deny it.
You need to go over it. You're not even going to collect 75% of it.
Any other questions on the budget?
What is the number where the budget, what was the budget stand tonight? What are we looking at as taxpayers?
Is it the rate?
Sure, sorry. Well, the final rate, obviously, we don't have. Give me one second.
Yeah, just looking for the proposed, as it stands right now.
You have it there? I'm sorry.
The increase?
Yes.
Well, I think they're talking the tax rate based on...
The tax rate is 1.5378.
So $1.54 per hundred, rounded up.
What they're looking for is last year we went 19 cents increase in the municipal tax. What he's looking for right now, we were talking 29 cents. Now, what is it as of tonight? That's what they're asking.
Well,
I think with the reserve fund collected taxes.
Introduced budget. That's what tonight is. Introduced budget only.
I understand.
I can give you the answer right now. $43.24 per 10,000 assessed, based on the introduced budget. Correct.
Okay.
No. On a house assessed.
House assessed at what?
145 is the average assessment.
Well, 30 cents. It's 30 cents. That's
Thank you. That was what they're looking for tonight.
30 cents doesn't mean anything, right? I just want to know what it's
on a $100,000 house, that's $300.
Okay.
Assessed value.
$200,000 house.
Assessed value.
Assessed value.
Okay.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not have them all amongst yourselves here. Yes, ma'am. Are there any other questions from the public?
Rudy Bichero, 191 Broad Street. I want to know if we're going to discuss any of the department's budgets or department tonight on the proposed budget hearing.
I don't believe that was anybody's intention to do so tonight.
Okay, there's no discussion about the court or the library?
No, sir.
Okay.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Is there a second? Okay, any discussion on that? Hold on, ma'am. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Go ahead, ma'am. We'll let you get one last one in.
Thank you. Is there any way to get Washington Township to chip in on $22,000 for the dam?
We could ask, but I think if the situation was reversed, I'd tell them no, I wasn't going to chip in for it. So I wouldn't hold a lot of hope out for that.
Well, every time I go by where the dam is, or at least where I think it is, it's like a swamp. There used to be a mill pond. The brick building there, well, it was a... make nylon, and it had a wheel, and that water was used to run the wheel, to run the machinery in the valley. There, I think the state's problem is the pollution that may be coming. We used to ice skate on it, and now it's still in here. So. And the township has nothing to do with it except the stream goes through it.
Scott, can I see this? Garbage, please.
We'll get to that. What I'd like to do is take a 10-minute break so
get a motion for that, and then come back.
Five minute break.
Okay. You moved? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, Councilman Cioni, you have some paperwork to hand out for us in the presentation.
Yeah, you already have the paperwork.
Yes. Just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, Councilman Cioni and Councilman Boyle worked on this also. Have a presentation about refuse pickup and some options that are available that may make it more efficient, save us some money.
Right. So this would be consideration for 2011 only, not 2010. So we had earlier discussions about, you know, what do we do about garbage.
Heavy. No, this is fine. This year we talked a little bit about garbage. I mean, it's been on everybody's mind. We just awarded a contract in, what was it, 2009? November of 2009, we awarded a garbage contract to Blue Diamond for 4 years. So we talked about we had earlier discussions about, you know, what do we do? Do we privatize? Do we keep it as is? Do we do all these other things? And, you know, we took it upon ourselves to do a little additional research. So what I'm proposing today is a presentation for 2011. The reason I'm doing it now is because we have, in the contract, we have written a six-month out clause with Blue Diamond. So if we decide to do anything different, like there's four options we're going to present today. Option one is keep everything the same. Options two through four are different options. So if we're going to execute any of those options for 2011, we have to do that pretty much by June in order to have the six-month out clause, you know, have any real effect. So what I did was I put together a presentation. It's handed out to council. I don't have copies for everybody, but I do have a couple of extra copies. It's going to be on the website tomorrow, so if anybody wants to go on the homepage and download it, you'll be able to see what the options are. But I'm going to walk through the proposal tonight for everybody in the audience so everybody has a clear understanding of what the 2011 options are. So I'll sit down.
I have a couple of extra copies, so who in the audience wants to see the proposal? I mean, I could split it up two and two, and then basically you guys can pass it around if you want to do it that way.
So this is going to be on the website tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Everybody hear me okay? Okay. So this is a presentation of the analysis of refuse pickup options for 2011. So the overview is, you know, basically faced with ever-increasing costs and higher tax rates, myself with the assistance of Councilman Boyle on the shared services option have put together a brief presentation that details what our possible options are for 2011 fiscal year. The goal of this presentation is to provide council, as well as the taxpayers, a detailed analysis of our options so that we can make an educated decision on our future waste removal. Current status. Currently, our waste pickup is done through Blue Diamond Disposal. It's a four-year contract, raised through taxes within the municipal budget. The cost of 2010 was $270,500. Little asterisk next to that, and it says tipping fees are not included in that number. 2011, the cost will be $259,000, and bulk pickup is not factored in there because it was removed. 2012, the number will be $265,000. Tipping fees for 2010 are $172,128 estimated. Total combined cost in 2010 will be $442,628. So now you can understand why we're looking at these options. We have a six-month out clause that can be executed by the governing body at any time. The costs are derived by total tonnage and tipping fees. We cannot separate residential, commercial, industrial from the cost. There's no breakdown, so we can't really do that. Oh, questions, I'm sorry. Questions, if we can hold the questions to the end, we'll explain everything. The requirement, the basic core requirement here is that waste pickup service must be equal to or at least greater than the current service. And costs would be lower than today and projected. Options. Came up with four options. Option one is keep contract status as is and leave Blue Diamond in place. Option two is opt out of the current contract and have all affected go out to private pickup. Option three is opt out of the current contract and purchase a proper vehicle and have the service done in-house by DPW. Option four, shared service agreement with a contiguous municipality. So option one, keep contract status as is and leave Blue Diamond in place. Residents, commercial, and industrial users will maintain current service and the municipal budget will maintain the dollar line item amounts each year to service the borough. The cost from January 2009 to December 31st, 2009, including tipping fees, equals $516,073.90 or $344,400 minus the tipping fees. The approximate amount in the 2010 budget on the budget equals 11.83 cents. So that number was arrived to by the 442,628 divided by tax rate of 37,425. Each cent equates to $37,425.36. There is a separate option, but related would be to have the cost of the services come in as revenue and bill separately. And I have a note that Tom Ferry and Rich can explain that briefly.
Sure. This is for the approximate amount, the 11.83, correct?
Well, this is about the separate option you talked about.
Oh.
Through.
You want to delve into that one?
Which one are you talking about now? I'm sorry.
This is the one you and I spoke about the other day from the state, what their option to do with the cost of the garbage fees.
In the budget?
Yes.
To take it out of the budget?
Yes.
Put out of
the
utility?
Yes.
Or to keep it where it is?
To take it out and have it come in as revenue.
Okay.
Yeah.
The state of the levy cap, okay, there's just three options. Levy cap, okay, there's just three options. We had the option one was to create a utility. I talked to the state of New Jersey, which basically would just mean you would keep the same services, same contract, except you would just get a separate bill, but it would not be within your tax rate. That basically, it's just basically shuffling the expenditure. It's not adjustment to the levy cap. So that option's not even viable because it doesn't do anything for us except create more government, which we don't want. So we threw that one out. The other option was to create a separate bill and receive the money in current funds. I have one town that's going to do that now, and it's divided up by EDUs. Equivalent dwelling units. So a single family house is one EDU. It's basically the way the store expense is done. So if you have a restaurant, you might have 15 EDUs and you spend, you have more garbage. So what that does is it creates a new line item in the budget, in the current fund budget, and it reduces the tax levy. Okay? That will keep us in, that's an adjustment to the levy because you're lowering the levy, so now we're going to be more closer to our levy cap calculation because you're putting an additional revenue in.
Right.
The other thing is going to be another, it's going to be another separate bill.
Right. So, if you will hold questions because I'm sure there's going to be questions at the end probably from the audience about that. Mm-hmm. So let's go on to option two. Option two is opt out of the current contract and have all affected go out for private pickup. So, I solicited Blue Diamond, Sanico, and Waste Management, and the costs were approximately per average resident household anywhere from $70 to $107 per quarter, which is equates to $280 to $428 per year. That includes one 96-gallon container typically, once-a-week pickup of garbage, and biweekly recycle pickup. And I have a note. It says the savings here is the amount is that the amount will no longer be required to be raised through taxes, resulting in approximately 11.83 cents per year off of the municipal budgets. Actual costs may vary slightly depending on the provider you choose. So,
going on to page 8, option 2, pros and cons, because each option, what I try to do is give pros and cons to list them out. So the pros of option 2 would be payment does not have to be raised by municipality through taxes. Services remain the same, refuse, recycling, vegetative, still done as it is today. You have one 96-gallon container provided by the contractor, which is actually more than we have now. And the resident has control over which provider. The cons, expense will be managed by taxpayers. Potential for one or more carrier operating in town. I called Hackettstown. They confirmed that they have two carriers in town. Potential for abuse, people abandoning trash at the roadside, using commercial dumpsters, those types of abuses. And the municipality cannot resolve any issues with the hauler. Option 3. This is the most detailed option because this is the most that has this option has the most numbers associated to it. So option 3 is opt out of the current contract and purchase a proper vehicle and have the service done in-house by DPW. Based on the research, the best capacity vehicle for Washington Borough will be a 20 cubic yard single access vehicle. Access to the borough maintained roads that are currently have garbage pickup was given a priority. Borough would need to hire 2 part-time laborers allowed up to 32 hours a week to handle these routes. Possible creation of a sanitary utility similar to our sewer utility. Borough would be divided into 2 pickup routes. New truck purchase versus a slightly used truck purchase. Total tipping fees from January 2009 to December 31st, 2009 was $171,673.90. Combined tipping and collection in 2009 was $516,073.90. Just to give you an idea of what we're paying now. So page 10 gives some of the 2009 tonnage, and these are 2009 totals. Recycling in ton was approximately 500 tons. Solid waste was 1,805. Vegetative waste in cubic yards was 1,152. Page 11, option 3, continued. Units with the borough for refuse collection numbers are of 2009. Residential units, we had 2,185 single-family units. We had 140 multi-family units. And apartment condominiums were 60. Institutional, we had 4 schools and other classification as 20. Industrial commercial, we had 14 industrial buildings and 166 commercial buildings. Municipal sources, municipal buildings and trash cans were 34. And I have an asterisk here saying additional cans will be added to the borough parking lot by the Business Improvement District. And another asterisk here under residential that says excludes future development. So if the Toll Brothers development ever comes online, those numbers are not factored in here. So the total number is 2,623 units total. So option 3, pros. Pros, there's no profit margin for outside firm. We have greater in-house control. We have a municipal lease slash purchase is an option in lieu of full upfront purchase. Borough would have to allocate only a portion of the total cost over each year for the life of the lease. New vehicle can last 20 years if properly maintained. Tipping fees, rate per ton would be lower, roughly $47 per ton for the landfill and $67 per ton for the incinerator, plus a $3 per ton recycling tax, which is applied across the board. It doesn't matter if it's recyclable or not. That's New Jersey. Borough can be paid for recycling, commingled at various locations in New Jersey, New Brunswick, Raritan Valley, etc. Less tonnage and tipping fees incurred. We had 500 plus tons in 2009. Lower long-term cost to the borough. The vehicle can be depreciated over a 20-year period. And this is I have this bolded in red because this is something that we had originally discussed when the DPW garage was being built. But going forward, it might be cost-effective to consider an external diesel tank for the DPW garage, which could reduce our fueling costs because 90% of our DPW equipment runs on diesel. This could be looked at a year or two or later cost. And lastly, the vehicle can be fitted with a plow. So option 3, cons. The cons are higher initial startup costs. We have no backup truck. Borough would need to work out a contingency agreement with a municipality that provides that service. Training would be required. The borough has not had a refuse utility for many, many, many years, and the crew would need proper training on maintaining the vehicle as well as need to map out a sanitation route throughout the borough for all phases of pickup. We'd also possibly have to review the current ordinance, 13-70 or 47.1 in the code book. We'd have to accommodate for vacation, sick, and injuries. Vehicle maintenance costs would have to be factored in. New truck has additional environmental emission standards. We saw the same thing with the fire truck. Extended truck breakdown accident, how do we take that into account? Slight liability increases, which I'll get to later. And if it's a used vehicle, there's no guarantee it was properly maintained. And if it's also used, you have a very limited warranty. The purchase of the DEP permit costs are minimal, $150 basically for 5 years. Option three, projected costs. New truck could cost anywhere around $150,000. Belvedere paid about $140,000 for their new vehicle. Again, this would be the 20 cubic yard single axle truck. Used truck, I saw estimates anywhere from $20,000 to $90,500. And again, because they're used trucks, they could come on and off the market, so there's no guarantee that the truck I looked at last month is going to be there next month. The risk there is the maintenance and repairs on the used vehicle are unpredictable and potentially very expensive. There's a lot of hydraulics. I'm sure people that use heavy equipment understand that. Tipping fees. If recycled was separated out of solids, you're looking at $90,250 based on the 1,805 tons multiplied by a $50 tipping fee. Those would be our costs. Two laborers starting in 2011 at $17.32 an hour. Times 32 hours is roughly $29,000 per year per laborer. The benefit of having them as part-time, there's no benefits paid and there's no pension contributions. The added liability cost for 2010 would be $360 for a new vehicle and $300 for a used vehicle. Minimal cost, but I wanted everything to be factored in as much as possible. 2011, you would probably see a slight increase on that. Diesel fuel, as of April 5th, it was $2.88 a gallon. These vehicles will average 3 miles per gallon local. Total yearly cost estimate will be approximately $9,000. And I can get into detail how I factored that out, but I don't think anybody really cares. Contingency agreement with another municipality in case the vehicle is out of service for any extended period of time, cost would have to be negotiated. Now, I did have preliminary discussions with some of the municipalities that do this. Glenn Gardner was one of them that said, you know, we could probably work something out where it's not necessarily fee-based. It could be like, we need your street sweeper, we'll let them borrow it type of thing. It's not all about monetary. So that's something that we would have to discuss. Obviously, none of that was done here because this is just preliminary. If there's a decision to go one way or the other, then we could delve deeper into the details. So yearly maintenance cost I have is roughly $1,800. And basically, I projected that based on a three-year total with all six tires being replaced at the end of year three, and that would include oil changes, tune-ups, those types of things. Option four. I defer the rest, the option four over to Councilman Boyle from Shared Services. Take the rest of this over.
Thank you, Councilman. What we looked at here for a shared service agreement of the eligible communities, we had Hampton, Glen Gardner, Oxford, Belvedere, and the town of Phillipsburg. Out of these towns here, I had contact with Glen Gardner, Belvedere, and Phillipsburg. Hadn't heard anything back from Oxford or Hampton. So what Councilman asked me to give the pros and cons on a shared service, okay? So what I believe, anything you do with shared service absolutely has to be provided, service has to be provided, must be equal or better than the existing service that we have now. Financial benefits must be demonstrated. What I feel the cons are for a shared service agreement is the concern over the loss of control over the service and a reduced level of responsiveness. And also the increased cost at the end of any agreement. There's costs factored in that. So, preliminarily speaking, I do have an opportunity to speak with Glenn Gardner. The town of Phillipsburg is looking at numbers now to put a proposal in. It's just discussion-wise. That's all it is. So we can compare what we're doing now for later. You going to do the summary?
Yeah, I can do the summary.
Okay.
Just the last page is basically, this presentation serves to provide, excuse me, a framework for a decision to be made for the 2011 fiscal year. Its format is informational only and is not meant to favor one option over any other. Any questions, please feel free to call me at 908-835-8853 or email me at my Washington Borough email address. Questions?
Mrs. Halpin, I saw your hand up first.
Is there an estimate, a number for the third? You know, can you come up with a total estimate for the third proposal?
Well, I mean, the numbers are, yeah, I mean, the numbers are in there. I didn't give an overall generic, but I mean,
does it look like it's
going to save us? Well, absolutely. I mean, if you look at your startup cost of $150,000 for the truck, and if that's deferred over a 5 or 10 year period, whatever the lease agreement is, it's hard to get a concrete savings. Like, in year one, we're going to save X dollars. But we're going to save money, in a sense, from tipping fees and everything else because we're not paying another company to do it. Mm-hmm. We also can parse out our recyclables and get paid for that as well. Some municipalities, what they'll do is they'll have, like, for paper and cardboard, they'll have a pickup day where, you know, the DPW will go out in either the garbage truck or the dump trucks, and they'll pick up all the paper and cardboard and bring it to predefined dumpsters that are at, say, like the DPW site. These dumpsters it's a contractual agreement with an outside vendor who provides the dumpsters. So they fill the dumpsters, and once a month the vendor comes, picks up the dumpsters, takes all the cardboard and paper away, and cuts us a check for X amount of dollars. That's one way. Other areas will say, well, we'll take your cardboard commingled with paper, it doesn't matter, in the garbage truck, whatever, and we'll pay you that way. An example for vegetative waste, I know I reached out to Nature's Choice in Belvedere, and they basically said, you know, your vegetative waste is X amount of dollars per cubic yard. If you were to drive in off the street and say, I want to dump my vegetative waste, it's, say, $17, $18. But if you're a municipality, you RFP, and we go out, and they'll say, well, maybe it'll be $13 a cubic yard. So that's our cost. So they'll take that, and it's right in Belvedere. So then you have to weigh out, you know, where are you going with the waste? Are you going 5 miles away, or are you driving 50 miles away? And how's that going to factor in on your gas and your wear and tear on the vehicle? So that's why it's hard to give a concrete number. But, I mean, just glancing through the numbers, based on the $544,000 or whatever we're paying in 2010 versus whatever the startup costs would be for hiring manpower and buying the truck and all of other things, you would save money. But again, do you want to take that step? I mean, that's what I'm doing, is presenting the numbers and having council make the decision based on what options you want to do.
Mr. Eller, I saw you.
Yes, Don Eller. I'm at 44 West Church Street. See if I can keep this in order. First of all, I think you should have answered the question what the tipping fee was before your explanation took place. Okay, because that way everybody understands. That's the fee for going to the landfill.
Right.
Okay. Next is, I think that the service should be as is, in the sense that an outside contractor should collect our garbage. I've seen the garbage truck operate around town. It goes fast. It goes backwards. It goes forwards. I've seen those guys hanging on the back of that. I don't want to have any employees of ours on the back of that. As far as the truck goes, I don't want to own a truck. We're talking about shared services here, potentially. You go and try that one option and you buy a truck, and now you're stuck with a truck, and then you have to sell it. As far as garbage pickup, it should be regular garbage. I agree with the out with the bulk, but I think you should pick up recyclings once a week. So, because I see that they take plastics, glass, and cardboard all at the same time. I think that would be something beneficial to us as far as that goes. But I appreciate your help in what you've done. But as a citizen, I really haven't heard anything, because what I'm looking for you to tell me is where the savings is. You've given me options about, well, if we did this, if we did that. I want to know, what is the next municipality of our size, what is they spending on their garbage? So if we did this, we're going to save this amount of money, okay? I'm looking for what the savings are as far as what my options are versus what some of the costs might be, because they could be anything. So I want to know, however many people we have in town, what are the next three or four towns next to us, what are they paying for garbage? I don't want a long-term contract on garbage, because that can change.
Well, I know that Washington Township has privatization, so does Hackettstown.
See, the difference would be that they're a township and we're being in the borough. I think that's different. We expect those services, picking up our garbage in the borough. In a township, they're privatized.
Yeah, that's
so
what I just said.
So let the township be privatized. We need to have the Blue Diamond come around all the time. I don't want the borough to be privatized because there's too many landlord-tenant issues. Just pick up the garbage like it's always been.
That's what I laid out for everybody, is the option.
But out of those options, I need to know what kind of money we're saving, not so much it costs $150,000 for a truck, we're getting new tires every 3 years.
You're not going to get that, because with shared services, until we actually have conversations with them and talk numbers, we're not going to know what those numbers are versus what we're paying today.
Right.
With cost of buying a truck, I already laid those numbers out. So if you do the math, you say if we're paying $544,000 to Blue Diamond today, but next year we buy a truck and we incur these other costs, it's going to cost less than $540,000. I didn't tally the numbers, but essentially that's all there. If we do the privatization, then the only point I was making in the privatization is that the money expenditure probably would be about the same for the borough, but it wouldn't have to be raised through municipal taxes.
Right,
it's
I
like
that's just moving.
Yeah, I mean, it's like paying your cable right. bill versus having
well,
the town pay your cable.
Well, what you do to us now for the sewer bill.
Right.
But just to highlight it, keep the garbage the same way it is. Keep in the back of your mind about getting recycles. Just put it all together and pick it up once a week. Don't do all this other stuff. And don't do a long contract. You get 1 year under contract and see how it goes. Everything changes, right? The plus 55,000. Guess what? I was told by our engineer at the time that that's 15 years. That's stable. And now they're looking to change all that stuff. So,
well, right now we're in a 4-year contract with Blue Diamond.
Right. But you said we have a 6-month option.
If we wanted to pull out completely, yeah.
Right. So my opinion would be pull out completely.
Mr. Chambers?
Well, you hire garbage every year you hire a contractor. You're hooking up with one company for 4 years. I'm saying that's too long of a contract for what goes on. What happens if you do decide to go shared?
Well, there's also, just so you understand, there's also economies of scale. If you're going to contract with me for 4 years, I'm going to give you a better price than if I'm only going to be on the hook for you for a year.
Right, I understand that, but I just think
that's fine.
It's not getting, you know, hook, line, and sinker with a long-term deal.
Please,
Mr. Chambers. I appreciate the work you've obviously put into this. This does show a lot of, you know, concerned effort on your part to be able to do this. A few of the things that I did notice in there, you mentioned two people training at 32 hours a week. Understood. These guys are going to get sick. One may fall off the truck. One may...
Right. Yeah.
You're dealing with realistic costs.
Well, you also have the other thing I didn't put in there was, you know, if there's a snowstorm, you know, they're going to be pulling all night shifts plowing. They're not going to be able to physically collect garbage. So that's
you're going to have two separate, you know, as it is right now, you have Blue Diamond still come by and pick up your garbage.
Yep.
Regardless if there's 4 or 8 or 12 inches on the ground.
Absolutely.
They're there, but now you're going to be allocating those borough resources to be able to pick up the garbage. And possibly
yep.
plow.
Well, one of the things
that,
one of
the,
I'm sorry.
Question is, and I apologize to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
To the point of this, you mentioned only two people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there are costs involved in training those two people.
Not really.
But it's not just going to be two people. You would have to have at least two backups for each one of those people.
We already.
Education, sick, injury, and then insurance.
And, to answer your questions. Glenn Gardner, what they do is, because their DPW does the work.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is if there's a blizzard or a snowstorm or something, and it's on a garbage day or something like that, garbage is not going to be picked up that day. It's going to be picked up the following day. So that's how they handle that situation,
okay.
Which makes sense.
Sure.
The other aspect is, you know, our DPW is basically 5 people. So we would augment that with 2 additional staff, right? So you have 2 additional part-time people. All of them would be DPW staff. So at any given time, if Mr. Part-Time Garbage Worker is on vacation, one of the other DPW staff would augment that person.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Now, in being able to allocate those 2 resources to DPW, suppose they are, quote, not on a garbage pickup day, would they also be able to mow the lawn?
Absolutely. That's what makes them, that's why putting them in that
realm, so to speak. Same thing what we do with the park.
Okay.
You know, we have a seasonal, we have a DPW person that's assigned to DPW that maintains the park. The reason he's not in the park recreation budget is because DPW at any given time, if he's not being utilized for park work, he can be utilized anywhere else. Mm-hmm. If he was under the recreation budget, they wouldn't have any way to do that.
Okay.
So that's the same purpose.
So one of the things in regards to the fact that you're also saying, you know, let's transfer this over to the residents and it doesn't increase the
privatization.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it doesn't increase the taxes. It's a shift.
It is a shift. I mean, at the end of the day, look at it this way. We have a 30-cent increase we're looking at right now, right? Let's say hypothetically we did this last year and privatized it, and we took that 12 cents out. We'd be looking at a 28 cent, or, you know, an 18-cent increase, which is still high,
yeah,
but it's a drastically different increase for the entire municipality. Absolutely. No doubt about it. This is just shifting the money outside of raising it through taxes. That's what that means.
Yeah, the benefit there is to the municipality in the tax levy, correct, Mr. Ferry?
Correct.
Could you just explain that maybe a little bit more?
Okay. A utility, they said they would adjust the levy tax. When you pull out the garbage, it's going to lower the tax. And when you got to live within that 4% or even that next year, that 2.5%, if you take it out, your tax levy goes down, and you can stay within the constraints. Right now, as it is with this introduced budget, we're over. So what that means is that we do have to go to the state and petition with the local finance board to give us a waiver. Now, when you come up with options like this, they look at you with a little more attention, and they listen to you, and they tend to bend more when you say, we've done this, we've privatized this, we're doing that, we're looking into garbage. They don't want to see you there every year. They tell us, we don't want to see you every year. So we're trying to come up with the best ways we can. Option number four was even, I brought up some options of just putting that money into current funds just to lower the levy. But this is a whole new option, which would still do the same thing. And the state calculation for this 4% is nuts. Christie's idea is to do it. It's called a flat 2.5. Okay, last year's number multiplied times 2.5, and that's it. Now we've got adjustments for this, adjustments for that, adjustments for state aid, adjustments for debt service, adjustments for pension. I've seen one town 4% turn out to be 10%. So these are options. If we have to go in front of the local finance board, we tell them this and other things that we've done within the town. And it tends for them to borrow, it tends to make it a little easier on us to try and get a waiver.
By the way, the bartering service is a very, very useful tool to be negotiated with any of the townships.
Right.
As you said, you know, they borrow our street sweeper.
Right.
They
currently have a similar agreement with Hampton. Hampton also does their own garbage pickup, and if their truck breaks down, then Glen Garner picks up the slack and vice versa. So, I mean, in this economy, everybody's looking to barter, everybody's looking to share service, and there are a lot more viable options now and people willing to listen than there were probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, Phillipsburg and Glen Garner are very interested, at least talking with the council borough. Belvedere, they're really, what they did was supposed to provide us with numbers, and they went from privatized garbage to their own guys doing it, and they seem to think it's pretty successful. But if that did increase their cost to the residents doing it in-house, that town did.
Yes, ma'am.
The $17 or something per hour for the two-part time?
Correct.
Does that have to be adjusted for Social Security and unemployment?
That's just a salary cost. That doesn't include Social Security.
Yeah, that's just the straight salary cost per hour. Doesn't include workers' comp. There would be, yeah.
Yeah.
Since the amount for Social Security can change from year to year, you don't know what that number is. That's just the salary cost for the employee.
And again, you're never going to be 100%. I don't want to make anybody think that every estimate, every number I gave is 1,000% bulletproof. There's always going to be contingencies and numbers that fluctuate. So, you know, 3 years from now, can't hold this presentation up and say, this number is wrong, you know, it's, you know, these are the best numbers I had at my availability.
But with them being part-time, you know, there would be no pension benefits, there would be
right.
no health benefits.
And that was really the point of it, was that part-time versus full-time.
Yes. Mr. Sloan?
Are they, the men that pick up the garbage now, are they full-time? Do they get benefits? We're going to ask people to do it part-time and give them no benefits.
We don't have a garbage. Blue Diamond picks up our garbage.
I know. I'm asking the compensation for the people that do it. Do you know if they get hospitalization?
That's strictly up to Blue Diamond.
At Blue Diamond?
How they treat them, and we do not know what they do. We don't ask that question. We don't know what they do.
Excuse me, Ms. Sloan. Rudy Bashir. Washington Borough Code Enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. They get benefits after 6 months. Then after a year, their benefits increase. Okay. So they get vacation, sick time, okay, whatever. Mr. Cioli, I like your two proposals. Proposal number two is going to turn this town into a garbage dump.
That's the...
privatization. Every resident...
Well, that's what I alluded that as a con.
Cannot go there.
Yeah. Well, I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm just presenting the viable
I'm
option.
I'm telling you that your code enforcement position is going to be a rat's nest if it goes privatization. The complaints are going to go up drastically. Today I have to tell people to put their garbage out. Just last week, I had a resident that had approximately 30 bags of garbage that were stored in the back of their house. Okay? I caught them in the front, so they got rid of it in the front and put it in the back. Okay? This is, prioritization will not work in this town. Believe me.
What was the second one?
Second one is prioritization. One is we stay as status quo. Three is we go with our own private collection in-house. Okay. Two is that privatization is not going to work because people will not subscribe to it.
Right.
Okay. And there are garbage dumps everywhere.
Thank God. Question.
Sure.
Do you know for option what we currently have? What is it like per household? What is the cost?
The numbers.
$400 out of our taxes.
I would probably say anywhere from $280 to $350 probably would be a rough estimate if we had to break it down.
For the year or per quarter?
It's hard, though, because we don't have, it's hard to break it out by commercial, industrial, and residential. But if you had to break it, say, overall number divided by units, it probably would come out to, the privatization aspect probably would cost each individual person a little bit more than they would pay in their tax money, but not substantially enough that it would be that much of a big difference. But do I have definitive numbers now?
I think we asked that question last year. I think the manager, because we have everything involved with it, municipal, commercial, that was around $17.
When you took the total number of items serviced divided by the total cost, it equated to a little over $300 per
user
per year.
Yeah. So it's
divided
that by
again,
12.
It's not a fair estimate because when you go out, privatize it, commercial is based on tonnage. Whereas residential is based on you get one can.
Right, and I talked to Blue Diamond, specifically the owner of Blue Diamond, and I said, what would it cost for the average residential house if you were to do our garbage pickup? And he came back to me, he called me back, and he ran the numbers. And he was basically saying that if Blue Diamond was picking up your garbage privatized, it would be about $400 per year.
So that could be more privatized.
Slightly more. But essentially, but you're getting a 96-gallon container versus two 32-gallon containers a year, week. So, I mean, again, it's...
Mr. Feldman, you have
right.
a question?
Nope. And some use more. Yeah.
Ma'am?
I live in a town
Can. Mm-hmm.
That was picked up by a driver.
Yep.
They have an arm.
Yep, they have the arms and
now,
whatever.
Now, when I moved into that town, it was either with one larger container, but for living there for another year, I think it was 3 years, the residents in general, I was trying to get sure it wasn't really my thing, but the residents in general were screaming bloody murder. The
because the cost when they have in-house tripled in fees for that particular pickup. Because for some reason, just the physical cost of either the truck, because it broke down a lot, or that it wouldn't pick up the thing, so the guy had to work longer hours and paid more for it.
Right.
That was also added into the
right.
I thought they were just living.
Yeah, I didn't look into the cost of the auto picker-upper, I guess, for lack of a better term, because the cost of the truck, the cost of the truck, well, yeah, well, you could do both, yeah, you could do both. The cost of the truck was more expensive. There's a lot more moving parts to that truck, so there were a lot more chance for it to break down. The garbage pail has to be positioned in such a way that the truck can easily get to it, which is going to be problematic in some of the more narrow roads. I mean, and this was just my call, but I just didn't think it was a feasible option for us to look at that. So I was looking at more of the straightforward, you know, rear-loading truck, because, again, going down some of those narrow roads, a lot of those side pickup, you know, the truck pulls up the side and the thing's on the side, and I didn't think that would be a viable option.
I'm not sure of
that. Yes.
I grew up a number of years in Linden, the city of Linden, which was originally borough. The city out with the township outside, which most of the city in the 1930s. I would work on Saturday for the DPW from age 15 to 18. They have somewhere between 5 and 15 trucks. It is a big town. But they've been doing this a very long time. To my knowledge, they still have an in-house.
Well, Linden is not close.
I know it's not close, but they have a history. They can tell you what works and what doesn't.
Well, that's what, I mean, to your point, that's the conversations I've had with Oxford. I haven't spoken to...
Have always done it, or is it...
Well, Oxford, no, I don't think anybody, none of the towns that I've spoken to, I think, has always done it.
Right.
I mean...
That's fine.
But I mean, once you do it and you've done it, let's say you've done it for 10 years. Does it matter if you've done it for 40 years or 10 years?
But
probably not. It's picking up garbage.
Yes, but at least they would give you a history analysis of what does work, what doesn't work, and it could help you.
We also have the insurance, and a lot of them will come out and do the training for free, and they'll actually help you map out a garbage route so they make sure you're compliant with all the OSHA standards. So a lot of that work is done for free as part of the normal, you know, because they want to ensure, they want to make sure that they're protecting their investment, so to speak, and their insurance. So they want to make sure everybody's properly trained. And, you know, we have truck drivers already, so we wouldn't have to hire CDL-type truck drivers in the DPW. So that was why I didn't have an estimate for another additional driver. So yeah, I hope that answers your question.
I know New York, and I know Philadelphia does. I know they're giving grants out left and right for eco-friendly things. New York, Philly, Massachusetts, use natural gas. Their dump trucks, their city buses are all natural gas. There's a thing called Mr. Phil, which connects to your house. It's $2,000. You can fill up your natural gas vehicle in and out. There's going to be a gas station. You might get a grant if you decide to go the route with having a truck to get a natural gas station, a natural gas vehicle. And they might put it in the Mississippi for free.
You know, that's great, but it's a little bit right now, it's putting the cart before the horse. I mean, if they decide, if council decides that, you know, option A or whatever is...
Well,
that's fine, and that would be discussed. If they decided that we wanted to pursue option three, which would be purchase the in-house truck, then we would look at all the costs associated with, you know, natural gas versus diesel.
If the prohibitive cost for going that route is the cost of the truck, and you can get a state or federal grant to cover the cost of any natural gas stuff or subsidized by the company, that would reduce the concern.
But you have to understand, there's no guarantee you're going to get a grant for anything. And we would have to turn this around pretty quickly from the time we execute the out clause, from the time we purchase the truck, train the drive, train everybody, make sure the route's mapped out, everything like that, by, let's say, January 1st. So it would be hard for us to make a grant application, put it in there for, let's say, $50,000 and hope to God that we get it. And then if we don't get it, then what do we do? I mean, it's...
I understand. I just think that as an example. I know that PSNG gave Boston, I think it was 5 buses.
Well, that's also a huge municipality. It's huge. We're talking 7,000 people.
But to my knowledge, it hasn't been done in Jersey. There may be something. I don't know. I'm just following it.
I would be willing to research any option known possible, grants or otherwise. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Gary Brown. I live on 46 West Stewart. I have one observation and then one question. The observation is that based on what happened in the past with using DPW workers to do other tasks, like working on the garbage, on the building itself and hiring the using them as excavators and mm-hmm. how that went well, I don't think it's such a great idea maybe not to add additional people to do in-house stuff. It's not always the best way to go. The question then, too, is about the vegetation. Does Diamond pick up the vegetation link?
Yeah.
And do they that's included in the tonnage?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about breaking it up. I came from another town that would collect this stuff, and they had an empty lot where they would just pile up all the vegetation, become
yeah.
mulch. And
we don't have that option. No. And there's some DEP concerns about doing that, right? You have to have some sort of...
Yeah, you're forming a recycling center,
yeah.
so you do need a permit.
It's not as black and white as just dumping it in some...
Well, I didn't know the details
yeah.
of that was put together to know if it was something worthwhile doing.
Any other questions? Mr. Del Alba?
It's my understanding that this is a preliminary introduction of this idea, of this concept.
Yeah, no one besides myself and Councilman Boyle and Manager Phelan have seen this.
It's an excellent introduction.
Thank you.
I think probably what we need now is the next step would be just a little more due diligence on the shared services and the cost that may be involved in that.
Yeah. Good point, Mr. Alba. It's the unfortunate that you got to wait for them to do their due diligence. So we're on that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do they know we have a deadline?
I don't. I think they might. Or a flat line.
Mrs. Costco?
No. We pulled out of the bulk pickup. Just by executing it. The only thing is we're on the hook for 6 months, so we'd still pay them throughout the rest of the year.
And for the privatization, can I do my own garbage?
Yeah,
I believe that is true.
Yeah, that you would have that option. You're not obligated to have a private carrier.
Where would we go?
Oxford.
Is that what the town
does? See, like for me, For my example, vegetative would be a non-issue for me because I mulch and whatever, so I would never have the brown paper bags outside with the grass. But I live in a development where the trees are like this big, so the leaves aren't an issue either. But to your point, yeah, I mean, for me personally, vegetative wouldn't factor in. So, but for some people, it definitely they can have 30 bags lining their curb every week.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you say that we have to pay, even though you opt out in 6 months, that you have to pay $3 million
for the year? Well, we're
them for that 6 months.
Yeah, you're paying them. Let's say June 1st, we say to Blue Diamond, we're no longer going to we're gonna pull out of the contract completely, right? They'll still do the service until December 31st, and we'll still pay them for that service. But they won't do the service January 1st and beyond. That's
so
what that means.
3 years after that we had a contract.
Gone.
As long as they were providing
no cost.
Yeah, as long as they were providing the service, we'd pay them. But the day they stopped providing the service, that's the day that the costs would end
right.
for them.
And the day that we opt out, they have the right to renegotiate, right? So even if it's come January 1st, we're not ready to pick it up, they've got...
I'm sure there would be extensions and stuff like that. And that would have to be factored into the analysis as well. I mean, if we decided to go with option three, before we made that decision... Like, I mean, let me clarify. If we, as a governing body, decided that option three was our best alternative and what we were going to do, then Rich, I'm sure, would have to get together with Natasha and figure out how we're going to allocate the funds to purchase the vehicle. All of that stuff would have to be done before we officially pulled out of the contract with Blue Diamond, because we'd have to know from the truck company how long it's going to take from the time we order the truck from the time the truck is delivered.
you know, the insurance company, how long is training going to take, these types of, how long is it going to take to hire two part-time workers, those types of things would all have to be factored out.
If you have the truck, where is it going to park?
It would be at the DPW garage, the new garage. Yeah, that's actually, the work's already started on that again, so hopefully it should be done within the next 2-3 months, God willing.
Mr. Eller.
Mine's real quick. I would once again reiterate that I appreciate your efforts on that behalf. I definitely don't want to, you know, any negative comments towards the DPW, but I would wager any amount of money, those two guys that work for Blue Diamond on the back of that garbage truck to load it before you got two guys from the road department and those guys are truck drivers, it's not going to happen. You're better off to just let Blue Diamond or whatever carrier you wind up negotiating with, let them do the garbage. Don't bring it in-house.
Yes, sir.
And don't privatize it.
Jack Fox, West Door Street. There's a couple of notes. What do you say? We started contracting this garbage right out around 1962. We've been through several companies, and Blue Diamond has been doing the best job of all of them. That's worth something. Another thing to take into consideration is the landfill. Who's in trouble? So you might go out one day and have to start burning down the
Thomas River. They just extended it to 2012, the permit.
Yeah, but once you commit yourself to buying
it, the permit can be suspended, too.
Yeah.
I think that's the point the gentleman's trying to make.
No doubt about it.
The landfill should have been closed a long time ago according to what it was supposed to be
right,
and how long it was supposed to last. They keep extending it, and to Mr. Fox's point, that's right. Well, it's up in Oxford right now. What happens when they change it? We've got to travel further.
Yeah,
the other point of that is if we keep it as is, every contract that's negotiated, you know, Blue Diamond's costs are not going to go down every year. That's pretty much a guarantee. You know, they have a profit margin to make just like anything else. So if you took everything out of it and said if we did it in-house versus Blue Diamond, we're paying Blue Diamond, let's say the trucks cost the same, the labor cost the same, everything cost the same, we're still paying their profit margin. So, and again, I know it sounds like I'm advocating, but those are the numbers that, you know, Blue Diamond's out to make a profit, they're not doing it for charity.
All right, but there's some things you shouldn't get into, and I can tell you the garbage isn't one of them.
I can tell you from experience right now, you really have two small trucks. Back in 1962-63, this town was right up in the three sections, about twice the pickup. There was still the 25-year-old pavement.
And you were able to get up and down all the narrow streets? Well, if the numbers come back and we can safely handle a 25 yarder, then that would be factored into the cost. Well, I don't know. I think sometimes they use several different trucks for the town, smaller trucks for the smaller roads, or they use the big truck. Because I've seen them go down dead ends. They swing and go back. They back in to the entire dead end all the way to the back. So, you know,
I do know they have a dump truck that's not much bigger than a standard size pickup that they use on occasion. I don't know where they use it exactly, but
it is a pickup truck with a dump body put in a pickup bed.
That's what it looked like,
which they do garbage and recycling with, and it dumps into the back of a long tandem.
The theory about behind that though is speed picking up, not so much as a good dual jet truck.
It does give them the advantage too, get down a small street if they need to, where the other one might not be there.
And just the other thing about the tandem truck is that the bigger the truck, the tandem axle causes a lot more wear and tear on the tires and everything else, so you'd have increased maintenance costs
as
well.
It's higher speed,
Mr. Sloan?
I agree with the gentleman in the green shirt about we may be paying them for a profit margin, but we're also paying them to take the headache. And we as a municipality, if we haven't done it, I think it's risky, extremely risky, to start a project like this without a total, having two guys sit, jumping off on and off that truck, if not the three other drivers, like that gentleman said. We don't even know, you can't even compare apples and oranges on this.
What you are paying as part of their profit margin is the fact that they are taking ownership of the billing, of all the accounting, of all the insurance, of all of those issues. That, of course, would have to be added onto an in-house cost. What is the cost for the borough to have one of their current accounting groups manage the accounting assets for that, of insurance, of payroll, of accidents, costs, et cetera, whatever? Is the cost that we are paying Blue Diamond as part of their profit? They are using that to accommodate those charges. So incurring those charges within the borough, are we going to hire another person just to handle the
I mean, off the top of your head, Rich, that would be relatively easy to be absorbed within the existing finance department, correct?
For two part-time employees?
For two part-time employees. So, I mean, look.
I mean, we get 30 just in the summer alone.
We still need to account, though, the actual billing aspect of billing the customers for it is now in there. How you keep track of that money.
There are different
costs involved. Mr. Sikorski? It would go into the DPW budget.
And you save the tax rate.
Probably what would happen is, you know, if that was to happen, we would probably reach, you know, sort of form an alliance, so to speak, with the municipalities around us that are in the same situation where they have their own
garbage.
Right,
they're still in the news.
Absolutely.
But my question was, did you have any...
Did I ask the specific question? No, I did not.
Okay.
Mr. Kresser.
Now, currently we have garbage picked up one day a week, correct?
Yes.
Friday. And with one truck, we're going to have garbage out pretty much in town all week long with different areas?
No, it would still be, they would basically divide the town in half. And they say one half of the town would have a Friday pickup and maybe the other half would have a Tuesday pickup, something like that.
So how are we coming up with 35 hours a week?
32 hours a week per worker. So it's not going
to... 2 days.
Well, there's recycle. They have recycle days. You have your glass, plastic, and cardboard,
I mean,
and paper.
So the one truck is going to do everything?
Yeah.
And I agree with the gentleman that was saying the way those guys move.
What I did speak to the owner of Blue Diamond, and he basically says they have a pool of workers that they just pull in any given day. So most of the time, your Blue Diamond workers that you see on the back of the truck are not going to be the same ones you necessarily see the following week. So they have a pool of workers that they draw from and say, okay, today you're going to go to Washington Borough. Tomorrow you're going to go to XYZ. So all I'm saying is the learning curve to get from relatively slow to fast is not going to be,
you know. Didn't you just say that they got unemployment, health insurance, and our guys aren't going to be getting that? So who in the world is going to go to work for Blue Diamond and they're going to go like this to us? Because they're not going to get the benefits from us. I'm putting the what ifs up.
Yeah,
well, you're going to be going through workers left and right.
Right.
Because that salary doesn't go too far.
No.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it.
And, well, excuse me, but if you're big, you can take care of yourself.
Would you just give me your name and address for the record, please?
I'm sorry, yeah. Jeff Bailoff, Flower Avenue.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
When you're big, you can contain yourself. When you're small, you need outside help.
Correct.
And I think we're small, and I think, like this gentleman said, Blue Diamond's doing a great job. I haven't had a problem once. I just wish they picked up recycles twice.
You know, twice. All of it at one shot.
Yeah, because I got two kids, and, you know, I mean, who? But the thing is, I don't have a problem. You know, if you go private, costs are going to start going through the roof, let's face it. You know, if you buy a condo, they give you a maintenance fee. Every year, the maintenance fee goes up, okay? And, I don't know, you just start to play with numbers. They're doing good.
Again, the premise is to look at the cost.
The truck breaks down, they got backups.
Right.
okay? I'm a mailman. We have trucks breaking down every day. We got a ton of trucks to back us up. Our truck has a problem, then what do you do? And these guys are going to be thrown off all over the place.
The premise of this is to look at all the numbers, right? And
yeah.
So if we would be remiss to make any decision next year or any other year unless we knew for sure what the numbers looked out. So if I said option three is going to cost us $300,000 a year, but option keep everything as is, it's going to cost us $600,000, you as a taxpayer want to know that.
Right.
Whether
you're
we decide
right.
what we're going to do is totally separate. My job here was to present the numbers and say, like, whether we do A, B, C, or D, these
right.
are what the costs are.
It's a great
are.
Job, really.
But thank you.
It's presenting all options, not necessarily only the good options, you know, or in their opinion, the good options. Mr. Eller.
Well, I just offer a final thought. Bottom line is, we're here to save money. The best way to save money is to have the council negotiate a good fee paid out to the, you know, the home, okay? The other way you're talking about, you might say, oh, we're going to save money, but you're looking to spend money that we don't have in order to get something that's the future. Stay focused and just maintain. I don't want any capital expense of more employees, more equipment, rent that garage out to, you know, share that with somebody. Don't try and fill it up and put more equipment in it. You know, the saving money aspect is going to come from negotiating, you know, with the outside hauler. That's where the money's going to save. Don't spend $300,000 and buy a new truck and have these employees that you're managing.
Mr. Kresser, you had something else?
Yeah, you did do a great job, I think. What would be the cost ratio? Did you look into it? I mean, it just looked like it's going to be a full-time 40-hour week. How much more would that be?
If we moved them to full-time... I don't know what the per salary wage would be, but you'd have to pay benefits and everything else.
But you're going to have to pay benefits on somebody driving that truck.
Well, right. The driver we already have, so right.
But I mean, even just worst scenario, people switching, people getting time off and whatnot, vacations, but you're going to have to pull somebody out of the maintenance garage that are getting benefits now.
We would have a driver for the truck. Regardless, you know, we're not hiring a driver. So today, the DPW has five guys. I don't know how many of them are CDL certified, all of them. So one of those five, they probably rotate, would be the driver in any given day of that truck. So that would be a fixed cost that we already pay now.
Is it a lot, Rich, you think, for the full-time benefit? I mean, I can just see this coming up.
It wouldn't be worth it if you got to pay out.
Well, what would it be?
I'm just going off the top of my head. Because
No,
let's get the question answered here first.
Okay, what, please?
If I recall correctly, I'm just going off the top of my head. I believe the, because if it's full-time, it becomes a unionized employee and the salary's already negotiated in the existing contract. I don't recall the number off the top of my head, so I don't want to misspeak. I just don't know that number right now. Now, I do know that the hourly rate addressed in Councilman Cioni, his presentation was based on that current negotiated contractual salary. I just don't recall what that is off the top of my head.
Is that what our guys make now without the benefits?
That's what the labor rate for part-time hourly rate based on the salary ordinance would be.
Okay, so when we replace with somebody else, obviously the rate we have to pay.
Minimum, right.
Okay, I mean, I think you did a great job looking at it, but I really think we need to see what that 40 hours, because if it goes into that,
right.
You have to pay it.
I mean, obviously, this is all done just as a preliminary thing that we can whittle down, and, you know, we don't need to get into the minutiae of everything.
And
right.
You're never going to be 100% bulletproof,
right.
No matter what. I could do this for a year straight, and you'd still find the rainy day something happen, you know.
Yes, ma'am? Ma'am?
Are you proposing that out of five workers now that you would save two of them and make them part-time?
No.
So you're
going to
add?
If we did option three, we would add two part-time workers to the DPW.
So those two part-time workers, and then you're talking about them being able to fill in otherwise, vacation and whatever, how's that all
going to
work?
Again, that's a minutiae thing that, you know, I don't think we really need to get into here is exactly how everything's going to work. First, we need to decide what we're going to do before we really go into the details of everything. Mr. Del Elba.
Two items. I'm sure when you negotiated with Blue Diamond, that was a contractual agreement, that was a bid, or?
We did an RFP. We received several proposals from several companies.
If I may, sorry to interrupt. I don't mean to interrupt. It was an RFP. It was a sealed bid.
Sealed bid.
A sealed bid, and in accordance with the local public contract, so you're required to award to the lowest responsible bidder. That's what Blue Diamond was. So there's no negotiation. The numbers get presented to us. It's not like the RFPs you're thinking of.
Right.
This is a sealed bid. Lowest bid gets the contract per state law.
And the other question, too, is that you have to use it as a Now you have to give a six-month notice before you break the contract.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be the 6 months, right?
It could be any 6 months, yes. With just 6 months notice. It could be 6 months given January 1st, 2011, you know, for a July start date or anything like that.
That's great. Because what it does is take a little bit of pressure off of gathering some of this co-op idea trying to get some of the other numbers together.
Well, we would have till June, basically. If we wanted to make it for fiscal year 2011,
right,
we would have, our drop dead date would be around June 1st.
If we can do that.
Yeah, yeah,
and
for a full year.
Right. So if we don't meet that date and we wind up looking like there's some negotiations coming in with a co-op effort, and we can just say, okay, well, we're delaying that 6 months, but this looks like a possible viable option.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
if
let's say we were to go forward with a shared services agreement, but we weren't able to ink anything until November,
right,
we'd still have to execute that six-month-out clause in November,
right,
but we wouldn't start. Blue Diamond would officially end, let's say, March 31st,
mm-hmm,
and then April 1st we would start with the shared service agreement. So your realized savings wouldn't be an entire year. It would be
right,
less than that. So that's really what that means.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is good preliminary, but
yeah,
obviously we still need more data.
Right. And at this point, I'd kind of like to cut it off. I'll go to Mrs. Higgins in just a second here, but I'd like to take that as the last one. Mr. Cioni has his phone number and his email address in here, so if you could contact him in that regard as far as anything else. Firstly, I don't want to be here till midnight. I doubt any of you do. Mrs. Higgins.
And I'm losing my voice.
I just want a little clarification from Mr. Cioni. You have said that this, the driver is going to be part of the current DPW, correct?
We have five drivers currently on DPW.
Okay.
They're all driver certified.
Right, they're all DPW certified. Mm-hmm. And so that one of those individuals will be the driver, and the two part-timers will be the haulers. So how are you going to avoid then overtime? Or what is, I'm just wondering, what is this person doing currently that you're able to take them out of their current job away for 32 hours in the future? What's going to be left that they're not doing? Or is it going to roll over into overtime because he's still doing whatever he's doing now, and he's got 32 hours that he's got to fill?
Yeah, it's an excellent point. But, I mean, those would be details that we'd have to work out. And I did have preliminary discussions with John Byrd about manpower and how that would be utilized. So, I mean, if it gets to that point where we're seriously looking at this as an option, you know, basically the directive would be you have to make it work with your five drivers in such a way that there wouldn't be any overtime expended to accommodate this. And John was pretty much, he's like, yeah, we can make it work, you know. So those would, and then we'd have to work it out with how the route is mapped out and how the town is divided. Those, again, I didn't dive too deep into those details because I didn't want to go down, you know, necessarily a fool's errand to do all the work and research if it was going to be not a viable option. But it's an excellent point.
If he can make that work right now, then he should be able to cut his budget by 10% with everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, this was just conversation.
If I can cut you off there, Councilman, that was the last question that we were going to take on that. We're going to move on. We'll go on to committee reports. Do we have, I guess we could use that as one of the committee reports. Are there any other committee reports?
We have a sewer subcommittee report.
The sewer. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Councilman Higgins, did you have something?
Yeah, the sewer subcommittee met on the April 8th, Councilman Boyle, Councilman Howell, and I. We started out our discussion with the citizens' concerns for EDU versus water usage and why we don't do that. Basically, the real reason is so that we have enough money coming in, we went EDU so that we could pay our debt service. So hopefully that answers that question and puts that to... Pardon me?
Why did they go EDU?
operating expenses and debt service. Operating expenses and debt service.
Okay. Continue, Mr. Higgins, please.
All right. We also discussed the recent additions to the regional school system, and they're building a new stadium with a field house, and also the renovations that were done to Warren Plaza. The committee would make a recommendation that our engineer visit the schools for a recalculation of the EDUs that they're paying along with Warren Plaza to see if we're getting what we're supposed to be getting, and have him review the plans for the field house to see how much that's going to increase it to it, if he can do that, and if that's included in the retainer. We also reviewed the proposal from Municipal Capital Management, Stephanie Lewis. We discussed that. She had given us two options. She wanted to recalculate the base and reserve capacity charges for industrial users based on the new per EDU charge of $52 a month, and she did that at a not to exceed, she would do that at a not to exceed cost of $750. And we also discussed proposal number two, update the spreadsheet model for the sewer utilities finances, create a new 10-year forecast, and use that forecast when further per EDU rate increases might be needed. Now, here's what the committee recommends. The committee recommends that we go with proposal one for this year because of financial constraints. It's $750. And that is to recalculate the base and reserve capacity charges for industrial users based on the increase in the per EDU charge of $52. As far as proposal number two, the committee kicked around whether or not the manager and CFO could give a brief overview, forecast, so to speak, as what we would need if they could take the numbers of what we get, base those numbers on future usage, and come up with their forecast. It might not be 10 years, but to give a forecast as to when that we would have to raise our rates, if necessary at all. And then if that couldn't be done, that the committee would recommend that we revisit proposal number two next year because of the cost.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any other committee reports?
I have three.
Okay.
I'll be brief. The website committee, the final controller's report was uploaded and is on the homepage. And a brief summary of the conclusions, the controller's report found that the borough officials have made substantial progress in implementing the recommendations contained in our initial audit report. Specifically, of the 15 audit recommendations, 6 have been implemented and 6 have been partially implemented. The status of 3 recommendations could not be determined at this time, as no transactions related to those recommendations had occurred during our audit period. These implemented changes will help the borough to achieve greater fiscal accountability. And again, this report is on the borough homepage. Finance committee, the financial FAQs that we discussed at earlier meetings were all answered by the CFO, Manager Phelan, and Tom Ferry, and they were uploaded to the borough homepage as well as on the financial page for everybody to view. Special thanks to all the citizens that helped create that list of questions. Lastly, the Pocket Park Committee, no updates from the Business Improvement District or the property owners as to where they are with site remediation. The bid was not granted an extension on their line of credit from the bank, and the project is on hold until site is remediated and bid is looking into funding for purchase and site remediation. We have a meeting with the bid executive committee on April 26th to discuss, you know, what the future options are going to be. So hopefully that bears some fruit. And that's it.
Okay. Mr. Phelan, you had something you wanted to comment on the DPW garage, correct?
Yes, if I may, since Councilman Housel isn't here. If everyone recalls, 2 weeks ago at our last meeting, it was scheduled that week to have a post-default pre-construction meeting with the bonding company. Bonding company hired an outside engineering firm, in essence, to run points on this project. He has ensured that all of the financial deficiencies from the previous contractor have been addressed. All of the previous subcontractors that had not received payment from the previous general contractor have been paid. He has ratified agreements with a new general contractor and subcontractors We are awaiting updated insurance information and state license information to make sure everyone is valid. This afternoon, the new proposed construction timeline came in. Unfortunately, it's in a format that it's an engineering software, so I don't have the format, so I need the engineer to convert it for me. So I'm not sure what the final timeline is. But we met on that Thursday, and it was probably the most productive meeting we've had to date with this. If this engineering consultant was involved from day one, we wouldn't be sitting here now talking about it. Immediately after that meeting, information was provided, and last Monday there was work on site already. They started with the garage doors. They're doing some of the minor stuff now, waiting for the rest of the information to trickle in, and the remaining supplies have been ordered. So progress, I'm pleased to say, has started up again.
But for those contractors that are working there now, you have all the required information from them?
That is correct. I do have all the legally required information as well as the insurance information for them all.
Good.
There's still issues that the borough will have to work out with the bonding company, but that's going to be separate of the construction project moving forward. That'll be done in tandem. So I'm pleased to say at least construction has started up again.
Okay, thank you. Any other committee reports?
Just real quick, Mayor, shared services. I'll be down in Glen Garner the first week of May talking with their governing body to get stuff rolling.
Thank you, sir.
And just a reminder, the grant committee is meeting on Wednesday, April 28th at 7 p.m. in the conference room downstairs if anyone's interested.
Okay, any other reports? Hearing none, we have no old business. We have new business. Interlocal agreement approval with the County of Warren for solid waste disposal.
This has to do with bulky waste, right?
I'm sorry?
It has to do with bulky waste.
But solid waste as a whole, not just necessarily bulky waste. I mean, bulk waste is considered
their definition of bulky waste and what ours was may not be exactly the same.
Rich, does this go back to January 1 that we have to, is this a new fee?
No, this is the same. They just never sent the renewal up.
And the whole purpose of this is to allow our residents to dump at the landfill?
And municipal staff when they got it.
Correct. Is there any discussion on this?
No. This, what effect does this have on our current hauler? Does this apply to our current hauler?
No, not to my knowledge. I mean, he means Blue Diamond, has separate contracts with wherever they decide to dispose of their waste.
This is for us basically, as I understand it, to individual residents to take bulky waste up to the landfill and utilize it or whatever
Correct.
It may be. Okay, I guess we need a motion to authorize the agreement.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Okay, any other discussion on this? Let's have a roll call on this, please.
Fiore?
Yes.
Doyle?
Yep.
Leva?
Yep.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
No. For the purpose of, it says in here that we would be held responsible if there was like another super fund.
Like a Combe landfill.
Absolutely. We would be responsible for the cleanup.
Is that everyone?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that takes us on to our resolutions. We have three of them. I don't see any reason why we can't do them together, 85, 86, and 88.
I'd like to move those resolutions, Mayor.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yes.
That's a resolution to void and replace a check. Resolution authorizing the refunding of the payment of the borough service sewer service charge, and a resolution memorializing the establishment of recreation fees for 2010. Mm-hmm. Mr. Phelan, you wanted to comment on 88, 2010 for the recreation fees?
That's correct. Just so you know, one of the items in here, this is what you see in front of you is the recommendations from the recreation director. As everyone is aware, there's one item in there that is inconsistent with our current ordinance, specifically senior membership for out-of-town seniors for the pool. His recommendation is for 50. The current ordinance is zero, and it has been introduced to be amended at a previous meeting. So the amended fee has not been adopted yet. Should council pass this resolution, it will do so under the authority that $50 fee would only go into effect if the ordinance is adopted upon its adoption date, not retroactively, from that date on.
Is Does that need to be part of the motion?
Yes, because that, because right now it's listed in there at 50 when the current ordinance is zero, although it has been proposed to be amended.
All right.
So there's really two options.
Is the motioner and second to go along with that?
Yes.
Second.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on these?
You're going to do them all together? So one vote would cover all of them.
Do you wish to do one separately?
88.
Okay. How about if we pull 88 out then?
Well, could you just vote yes for the two and then no for the other?
I think just for the sake of clarification, it would probably be better if we do 85 and 86 together and then do 88. Again, along as the... How about if we wipe all motions out and start all over again? Okay, everybody all right with that?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'll take the motion for 85 and 86.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion on these? Roll call, please.
Boyle.
Yes.
Valentine.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
McDonald.
Yes.
Lima.
Yes.
Sioni.
Yes. And then resolution 88-2010, acknowledging that the pool membership for out of non-resident seniors is inconsistent and would be contingent upon the passage of that ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Lima.
Yes.
Sioni.
Yes.
McDonald.
Yes.
Valentine.
Yes.
Higgins.
No.
Boyle.
No.
Okay, that moves us on to vouchers.
Yeah. Move we pay our bills.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of our vouchers?
Mayor, if you so mind, page 5 real quick, under lights, line item number 22 and 23, electricity. Same amount of days for the Yeomans Avenue bathhouse, but the billing is quite substantially different. Did you see that, Rich?
Yep. Let me pull the invoice.
Line 22 and line 23.
Yeomans Avenue bathhouse. Both of them. One's 9255. The other's 215.32.
Okay. I show 9255 is 122.10 to 219.10, and the 215 amount is 220 to 322.
Correct. I mean, it's the same amount of billing days. We have activity in that bathhouse now.
It's from February to March.
It goes from in January, pretty much. 11.4 kilowatt hours used. I mean, something's going on there. We're getting billed for it, so something's running.
The usage would be the outdoor night lights?
In the winter?
Were they not used that January to February time period?
The bathhouse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are the basketball lights tied to that meter?
Could be.
Basketball lights. Or tied to that meter, but none of the basketball lights were utilized.
Well, that's the only thing I could think of that would generate that kind of power.
Yeah, the only usage is the outdoor light at night.
I mean, it has what was used in the park between mid-February to mid-March. Anything over there that you can think of?
Bathhouse?
Yeah.
No. Nothing.
Something was running.
Most of the lights inside the bathhouse don't even work.
I mean, I can call JCP.
Well,
now,
I mean, just there's.
But something's obviously
something's
running. Wrong.
Something's there.
Yeah, all something's right. Running. We can look in to see if there's a.
Thank you.
A loss somewhere.
Okay. Any other questions on the bill list?
Oh shit. Yeah, on the sewer. office supplies. That would be page two.
Page two.
Central Jersey office equipment.
Mm-hmm.
What are we paying there?
That's the sewer department's share for the high-speed scanners that were purchased in order to go digital into the county digital records management. That's their portion.
Of the high-speed scanner, you bought three of them?
Correct.
So the price was $784 for each one?
Correct.
So where does that show, because...
Sure, if you go on the current side.
Yeah.
Hold on. That was, what was it?
Yeah.
Look at page two, first item. That's the balance. Two on that. The bottom line is it was split between multiple accounts because multiple accounts are using the scanner. It's not dedicated to one department. That's the balance.
Tax, finance.
No, that's email.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Any other questions? What are the salaries coming out of the...
As soon as you guys pass the budget.
Any other questions on our bills? Roll call, please.
Yes. Which one was later? January or the
second?
Second one.
Which was February 22nd or March
22nd.
I'll call JCP&L to see if there's a problem.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes. McDonald?
Yes.
Okay, recap, Mr. Taylor.
Pretty slow meeting in the sense of recap is concerned.
Yes.
Could you hold off for
just a moment, please? Let's do this.
All right. I'm going to get the breakdown from the DEP regarding the fines as it relates to the dam, as well as a further breakdown of the engineering costs. The stop line relocation, since it was received and approved, we'll send our request to DOT for the relocation to stop the stop line at the intersection of Broad and 57. Move forward to see if myself and the CFO can forecast out the EDU rates for 10 years in-house. Otherwise, it can be revisited, the proposal from Stephanie Lewis in 2011.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Jennifer Johnson, Newman Avenue. I'm referring back to March 16th, the minutes. In the audience portion, a couple of citizens had asked for Mr. Phelan to put together a list of items that the borough had for sale to put towards the budget or whatever. And Mr. Phelan, you said that you would put together that list. Was that ever done?
The list was comprised. We got assessed values. We're getting the final costs for what it will cost for us to actually sell the properties. The problem is right now the market's down. Last thing you want to do is sell a valuable piece of property when the down market.
Well, I think she's asking if you have a list of the
properties. Do I? I actually have the list right here.
Right, that's what you're asking. Mm-hmm. You just want a list of the actual
the
items
that are for sale. Yeah. Yeah.
I think she also means to buy stuff.
Yeah, that would be the car, the fire truck.
We have been discussing the police cars.
Right.
That were being sold for parts and such.
I have,
and then we asked what else right. was being
I have the ordinances and resolutions on my desk. I need to get the specifics for each vehicle. I just haven't had the time to go out there and move forward with it. Since I'm the only purchasing agent here and I'm the only one that can do it, I just have to find time to do it.
Okay, just following up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on to council remarks. Councilman Cioni.
No, I think I talked enough today.
Okay, so do I. Councilman Valentine,
no remarks.
Councilwoman Gleba.
No, I'll just piggyback off some of the citizens. But great job, Councilman Stanley and Councilman
Boyle. That was him.
Thank you for doing all of this.
Councilman Higgins.
I would agree. Good job, Richard. Good job, Patrick. Well, let's see here.
You left your list at home, right?
No.
Okay.
No, I have it right here in front of me.
That one you got.
Yeah. Do we have a projected date for the budget adoption?
No. It all depends on when in... the transitional aid applications go out.
Do we know when the transitional aids are
going? Not at all. State, their exact words to me, when we get to them, they'll be published.
Okay. I want to give a kudos to the police department, for our contracted police department. There was an incident that took place at our last council meeting prior to, I think, and they actually had a suspect in custody within 2 hours of the crime. And it was a serious crime, stabbing that was downtown. to them. Pardon me? Let's see here. I actually had down here that I would like to make a motion to have an ordinance prepared for our next meeting for the sale of our excess property.
Is that property, or the real property, or like the vehicle?
No, the excess, you know, bicycles and whatever else goes on with that. Because the longer we wait, we're not going to get the money.
The problem is right now I have no idea how to get a cost on some of them. That's the problem. Like, I wouldn't even know how to throw a minimum bid out for it. So.
Okay, well, here's the question that I have. We've been going on for a while on this, but how are we going to donate cars?
How?
So, yeah.
Via ordinance.
Okay, so that's all it takes is we do an ordinance and cars get
donated. Council has to adopt an ordinance, introduce it, adopt it, it goes live, and then it can get donated.
Okay, so, I mean,
60 days.
There are vehicles that you were talking about donating.
No, there's vehicles I was recommending being donated. Council has to make the final decision. Some of them don't run or parts.
All right, for the next meeting, then, I would like to have a list of the equipment that's going to be donated and how long before we can get an ordinance together to sell the excess, everything other than real property.
I can get it all together.
Pardon me?
I can get the list together, the draft ordinance, and I get the draft resolution.
All right, draft ordinance for next meeting. How's that? I make that motion.
For introduction or for your review?
For our review, at least. All right, well, yeah. Well, how about this? For review and introduction, if it is...
Well, if you're going to... It costs money to introduce the ordinance, so if you're going to tweak it, we have to reintroduce it, and that's another cost.
Okay. I'll have the draft ready at the next meeting.
Okay, there was a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Sir, you have something else?
Yes.
You wanted to add to that?
Yes. Are we going into executive session?
We will.
Okay.
Okay, anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Nope. Thank you.
Councilman Boyle?
Second. I would really stress that we look at refunding of the debt if we can. I know we talked about it before, and it may not say a refinance, and it may not be for a 2010 budget. I mean, I'd like to see that in writing. I'm not calling anything other than that, but that's very important. I mean, the mayor, you brought it up too. We had residents speak about it, and I think that's something that we really need to look at.
It is in our bond council's hands.
Who?
Our bond council's hands.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Binefield, I believe, has been looking at it.
Next week, Natasha, Tom Perry, I, and Bob are going to meet just to get a game plan.
Thank you.
Right. And I have nothing. So that means we would go into Resolution 87-2010 for an executive session.
So moved.
Pending anticipated litigation and matters involving employment.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?